other. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome. It is Monday, the 25th day of July, 2011. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. Obviously, we're going to break down all the different angles that are very, very suspicious in the Norway bombing and shooting spree now being used to, quote, crack down on conservatives worldwide, surveil conservatives, put conservatives on no-fly, no-gun buy list. Now, this is being called for just all over the mainstream corporate globalist media. The Financial Times of London is running the headline today. Killer personifies the rise of the new right. And remember that show earlier in the year from MSNBC demonizing yours truly and Ron Paul, claiming that we are calling for violence and editing clips of Ron Paul and myself. Any regular listener knows we're calling for no violence if it's offensive. We are for defending ourselves. But this whole thing is about how we're going to cause violence and we're calling for it. And it was called Rise of the New Right. And then here's the Financial Times of London. Killer personifies Rise of the New Right. So we're going to be going over this today. Also, we have Robert Jeppestuhl, who was on with us Friday, Sunday, and will be on with us today from Norway to get his take on all the latest developments. It turns out that the shooter, Breivik, won't serve even 30 years in jail. He'll serve less than 100 days per person that he's reportedly killed. And now it turns out, this is on Channel 4 in England, their reporter talked to the police and other witnesses, that they knew Anders Breivik's name before they had arrested him. And then as he's shooting people, they gave him a chance to put the gun down and turn himself in. Very, very bizarre. And it is confirmed now he is a high-level Mason. He is part of the real Knights Templar organization that still meets in England. And so he will go to basically a five-star. Norway and Austria are known for having literal country club prisons, and that he will live a lavish lifestyle for less than 30 years. Let me pull up the exact number here for you. I think they said 25. So he will serve less than three decades in jail. Yes, 21 years, excuse me. See, my mind has trouble dealing with this, so I was imagining more years for him. It's 21 years or 80. Can't hear you. How many days? 80 days per death. So 82 days per death and 21 years total in a lavish facility. So we're going to be going over all of this. Anders Behring, Breivik, manufactured patsy, key article by Paul Joseph Watson, where it's confirmed that his Facebook, after he was arrested, was altered. And the fact that he's pro-gay, liberal, quote, nationalist, and a bunch of other things that you wouldn't define him as a conservative or libertarian, that has all been removed. All of the liberal stuff has been removed and the conservative stuff added. So the question is, who did this to his Facebook? Massive evidence of this being completely and totally staged. And, of course, the police arriving on the island and saying, hey, Breivik, put your hands up. The question is, how did they know that? Got a lot of other news as well coming up. Stay with us.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, my friends, we are live. It is the 25th day of July 2011 on this Monday edition. Popping back in with us coming up in about 30 minutes is one of the survivors of the bombing attack in Oslo, Norway, Robert Jeppestuhl. Then we have Dr. Steve Pachinik joining us for about 45 minutes in the second hour, who himself was involved overthrowing governments, running black ops, dirty tricks, things like that. I haven't yet even asked him his view on this. You know, he says the bin Laden killing was fake and 9/11's an inside job, but I want to get his take on what's happening in Europe, and we will find out together his view on this. And then, of course, in the last 30 minutes of the broadcast today, Doctor of History, Webster Tarpley, who is saying that clearly this is a false flag event. We'll look at how they find mentally ill patsies and basically deploy them, help them, protect them. Other shooters reportedly involved, and then basically put the mental patient on trial, just like the guy that shot Reagan, you know, moving towards release from prison, the guy that shot John Lennon moving towards release, and for years allowed weekend release. If you talk about the guy that shot Reagan meeting with the Bushes the night before for dinner, I mean, and then the government connections that were there. This MK Ultra mind control issue is very real. And if you go to the front page of Infowars.com, we'll pull that up for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. But for radio listeners, if you simply go to Infowars.com, you can see Breivik, the reported shooter, with the classic, completely insane smile of real satisfaction and getting attention. Very, very proud of what he's supposedly done. He was not allowed to give a speech today at his arraignment, but they read a statement saying he did this because of cultural Marxism. Now, that's a term I hear Michael Savage use. That is a term that I hear et nauseum being used, of course, by other big radio talk show hosts and conservatives. The manifesto he put out worships neocondom. It promotes homosexuality. On his Facebook, he said that he was reportedly liberal on some issues, conservative on others. That's all been removed off of his Facebook. And in its stead, it's been added that he's a Christian conservative, and this was done after he was arrested. So it needs to be a major investigation. Now, they're looking for the other two cells. This is all right out of central casting that he said in his little statement today. The other two cells that he has in Europe, and he alluded in his supposed manifesto, 1,500 pages, most of it plagiarized on record from the Unabomber and others. He said that that he's working with people in England. And so now, if you don't want England to be absorbed into the EU, if you don't want the European Union to take over your country, if you don't want banker bailouts, if you're pro-gun, as he reportedly was, well, you're a murderer of children. And we have the Financial Times of London and others saying this killer, this reported killer, because he's not allowed to really speak for himself. It's been done by the courts, so who knows what's really true. The governments have such a history of lying. But now they're saying he's confessing to it, and they're saying that he personifies conservatism worldwide. Killer personifies the rise of the new right. And remember, earlier in the year, we had that MSNBC special they've aired over and over again. Chris Matthews, The Rise of the New Right special, will scare the heck out of liberals. That's the Huffington Post. And in it, they edit what Ron Paul and I say to imply that we're calling for a violent revolution and say that we're going to cause violence and that we're dangerous. That's what you come away from the hour special with, is that Ron Paul is this deadly, dangerous devil. And that Alex Jones is even more wicked and horrible, and that we're going to cause violence. And that's their complete angle. Reuters is reporting, as well as Raw Story, Ron Paul within hailing distance of Obama in a new national poll. scientifically conducted. Ron Paul's only 4 points behind Obama nationally at 37% of the president's 41, doing better than the majority of other Republican contenders. Ron Paul also over the weekend in a scientific poll, Gallup, beat Obama massively by close to 10 points in a New Hampshire poll. He's also beating Obama in Iowa polls. He is number one, number two, or number three, depending on which of the weekly national polls come out. And that's why if you watch Fox News, they have him on as a guest occasionally. But other than that, when they're doing nightly news coverage or morning news coverage, they mention all the other candidates, Mitt Romney, Al Gore's former employee, you know who that is, Rick Perry, all these other people. But they do not mention Ron Paul. And when I hear the news, Fox News, on the radio, they don't mention Ron Paul ever in the polls, even when he wins the straw polls or when he wins scientific polls. And even the talk radio news that Genesis carries, because there's only a few choices out there, when I listen to it, they never mention Ron Paul, even when he wins straw polls. When he won the coveted CPAC straw poll, 2 years in a row. This year, earlier in the year, I was listening, and they reported on second and third place. Didn't even say anything about Ron Paul. I mean, this is dastardly. I mean, he is the real front runner. And if they weren't propping up Mitt Romney, he would be the clear front runner. But I mean, they're neck and neck. They're nose and nose. It's a horse race right now, where Ron Paul and Mitt Romney are right up there. And of course, Pointy Boots will be coming in from behind the establishment's deus ex or ringer to pose as Ron Paul, Rick Perry, and so look for him to come swooping in very soon. But Ron Paul is a real contender, and a lot of dirty tricks going on. I want to open the phones up later in the hour after our first guest pops in with a quick prospectus on what a Norwegian survivor is thinking and what other people are saying. Let me give you the toll-free number to join us on any of the issues we've raised, but I would obviously like to hear from you on what you think about the Anders Breivik situation. Obviously, we'll also be getting into financial news today. The dollar has stumbled and tumbled today because of the Federal Reserve signaling they will continue to devalue the dollar. When you hear that there's a strong dollar policy, really what that means is they want to make sure all other currencies drop with it. And that's the G20 policy for at least 3 years publicly, is coordinated devaluation of the euro, of the dollar, of the yen, of the yuan. The West is always telling China, raise the price of your currency, but behind the scenes they want them to keep it the same or lower it. So that's continuing. Gold is an all-time record explosive high. When I checked 20 minutes ago, it was at $1,622.49. And I'm told it's still rising in the middle of the summer. Normally the doldrums are the time when gold goes down in price. So we'll also be going over all of that. But what is the motive if this is a staged event in Norway? And again, when you have governments that have been caught doing things like this over and over again, and you have Pentagon manuals on how to train terrorists that you then set up and burn as patsies, you have to immediately look at who stands to gain from this. Norway not going along and contributing money to the banker bailout, even though they're outside of the euro. Norway, one of the least restrictive gun control states, very constrictive and restrictive compared to the United States. Now calls to restrict gun ownership there even more. Calls to have the EU and U.S. anti-terror forces come in and basically take over the internal security apparatus of Norway, killing their sovereignty further, just like they're trying to do in Switzerland. There's only a few sovereign countries left. Norway is one of them. Switzerland is one of them. And, of course, they had the Prime Minister of Norway at Bilderberg this year. Very important point to note. You had it's now emerge yesterday in the last year. CIA secretly infiltrating along with NATO, the police departments and the National Police Department in Norway. and, quote, recruiting senior police and retired police to fight terror secretly because the West was so worried about terror attacks in Norway. Yes, Muslims are going to attack Norway because Norway is for recognizing the Palestinians. This is asinine. So they didn't go with that because no one would buy it. Instead, they went with the right-wing card, a guy who's a high-level Mason admitted, a member of the current real Knights Templars, who wears Illuminati symbols all over his little uniforms with glamour shots and a 1,500-page treatise and a professional video. And the police knew who he was when they arrived on the island and didn't shoot him, even though he was shooting people. They said, Breivik, Anders Breivik. And he said yes and walked over to them and now seems quite pleased. And their own government is reporting he will serve no more than 21 years. Within a third of it being served, he will get weekends off and out. Kind of like the guy that shot Ronald Reagan's been quietly, secretly getting out for a decade. You can pull that up. So we've got that report going on. Headline, police knew gunman's name before arrest. We're going to be breaking that down with Dr. Steve Pachinik. Anders Breivik, manufactured patsy. You have his Facebook and other websites of his being changed after someone has his codes. And he's saying, in at least this written statement now, that there's other cells in Europe about to strike. But there's no discussion about, hey, we better find out who's changing his Facebook to Christian conservative from pro-gay liberal. And we're going to be going over that article as well. There's just so many serious anomalies on this front, but it's also meant to create a clash of civilizations. They're putting the call out for young European males to attack Muslims. We'll talk about it when we come back. Okay. So, the biggest piece of evidence that this is staged is that in Europe, in the United States, in Canada, in Australia, in New Zealand, globalist-controlled countries or globalist command-based countries, they control almost the entire planet, but the nations I just mentioned are the original wealthy, powerful engines that were taken over by them and now used to dominate the world. In all those countries, the controllers have been demonizing Christian right-wingers who don't want open borders, who don't want banker bailouts, who don't want to give up their cultures. And they've been saying they're going to strike, they're going to attack, it's going to happen. So we saw the pre-scripting running up to this and a huge rollout last week ahead of this in Europe and the United States that right-wing, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Al-Qaeda, right-wing Al-Qaeda is going to strike. Forget the Arabs now. The West has taken all those countries over except for Iran. They're overthrowing all their old allies, Mubarak and others. They've got the Al-Qaeda forces attacking in Libya. You're not supposed to talk bad about Al-Qaeda now. Folks are tired of hearing about Al-Qaeda. They're not scared of it anymore. So enters the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Al-Qaeda. And I said Thursday, I played this clip on the Sunday show last night. I said they're going to launch the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Al-Qaeda very soon. I'm telling you it's imminent. The next day it happened. Less than 24 hours later. So I could see the preconditioning. That's why I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off. And now you've got all these White House memos saying we need a new Oklahoma City or 9/11. These are public. Even Glenn Beck's talked about this earlier in the year. I've played the clip. And in the memos, they say, we'll blame Glenn Beck and Alex Jones. Media Matters, all the rest of them are saying, oh, yeah, there's going to be a new Oklahoma City. And when it happens, it's Glenn Beck and Alex Jones' fault. And then Michael Savage is added on like a little side hors d'oeuvre sometimes. But not always. But it's always Glenn Beck, Alex Jones. In the MSNBC special, it's Ron Paul, Alex Jones. You know, Rise of the New Right. We're going to cause the terror attack. That's how the show ends. We're violent. We want violence. They edit this clip out of Ron Paul talking about the founding fathers fighting tyranny and a clip of myself saying the Second Amendment is to defend us from tyranny. And then they say, see, they want to kill liberals. And that's always their talking point. And then separately, you have White House advisors like Shapiro and others saying in the Financial Times of London. In fact, will you guys search that so we can show it to PrisonPlanet.tv viewers so I can have the actual headline? It's something like Just search the term white. Robert Shapiro tells Obama he needs a new Oklahoma City or 9/11. That'll pull up our article, and they'll have a link to the Financial Times of London story. I think it's from January. I want to show people that. And he says, President, you need the terror attacks. It's the only thing that will save our globalist agenda. Now, in the same Financial Times of London, which is the most elite publication in the world, this is where the globalists communicate with each other with very veiled innuendo. I mean, it's thinly veiled. I mean, you have Gary Hart writing articles for Huffington Post where he says, we do stage terror attacks, Iran. You better do what we say or we'll stage one on you. He didn't even veil that. And we've interviewed him and asked him what he thought about it. He said, yeah, no, our government stages attacks. And I told Iran that, but that's a message for them, not for the American public. See, globalists think region by region. The big CFR terrorism preparation master on the Hart-Rubin Commission, Gary Hart, writes a letter openly to Iran saying we'll stage terror attacks. There it is. It's Financial Times of London, and that came out. It actually came out last year, July 13th last year. Wow, time flies. Obama facing growing credibility crisis. Financial Times of London, and you read into it, he says, barring a giant terror attack like Oklahoma City or 9/11, the president's agenda is dead. Now, what did the same Financial Times of London say today? Killer personifies rise of new far right. They're following a script. What was the name of last year's MSNBC special that they've re-aired this year? Rise of the new right. What do they say is going to happen? We're going to kill people. Let's go to break with Michael Savage breaking down that Obama was going to stage a Reichstag event. And believe me, this Norway thing's a test. It's coming here. This is how they're going to shut the web off, come after Tea Partiers and conservatives. I told you it was coming. They've been beta testing it. Now it's starting. Here's the clip.
Now I'll make another prediction. I predict that very soon Obama will create a crisis along the lines of the Reichstag fire. I don't know what form it will take. But I believe that once the minions are seen for what they are, Rahm Emanuel and his gang will set off a Reichstag fire in this country of some kind, and they will recall the military dictatorship of Lincoln and Stanton during the Civil War when civilian suspects were arrested without warrant. I will tell you as I sit here, I fear that every night as I go to sleep. I put nothing past these agitators who have suddenly seized control of the most powerful economy and the most powerful military on earth.
All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to break down what's going to happen.
You take a mortal man and put him in.
Okay, we are back live, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to take some of your calls. Towards the end of this segment, after our guest leaves us, who's about to pop in, a survivor of the attacks in Norway. But finishing up what I was getting to in the last break, Obama faces growing credibility crisis. And this is an article out of the Financial Times of London. And when you go down to the bottom of the article, it says, the bottom line here is that Americans don't believe in President Obama's leadership, says Rob Shapiro, another former Clinton official, and there's like eight of them now that have said the same thing, including people in the White House. The bottom line here is that Americans don't believe in President Obama's leadership, says Rob Shapiro, another former Clinton official and a supporter of Mr. Obama. He has to find some way between now and November of demonstrating that he is a leader who can command confidence, and short of a new 9/11 event or an Oklahoma City bombing, I can't think of how he could do that. Okay, now, skip ahead to what's happening now. And I've seen similar statements out of politicians in Europe. People are like, why would government stage terror? Why would Hitler firebomb his own capital? Blame it on his enemies. Why would he attack his own military base? Start World War II and say that Poland did it. I mean, folks who send me emails and call and go, I don't know why they'd want to do it. Well, I don't know why the guy's saying he did it. Really? The guy's obviously completely insane. They find and profile an insane person. They use the Masonic Lodge to program him. He's part of the Knights Templar, which still operates out of England, connected to all the right-wing groups. It's the same story with the shooter of Reagan and of of course, John Lennon. I mean, if you go study both those cases, it is confirmed they both work for World Vision and were involved in weird CIA training camps in Africa and Lebanon. You cannot make this stuff up. And the family, the Lennon family, was on record at the time saying that the shooter of John Lennon was telling police that he was in a room, bright lights, men ordering him to do it. And they said, oh, he's just mentally ill. Ignore that. And it turned out, again, he worked for World Vision. They used these missionary facilities for the brainwashing in third world countries. And it was the same thing. The head of World Vision's son then goes and shoots Ronald Reagan. And the night before is meeting with the Bush family. That's Denver Post. That's L.A. Times. That's Washington Times. You cannot make this stuff up. Reagan was like, I'm the president, Bush. Sit down. Shut up. I'm running things. And then he gets shot, goes and has some medical procedures done. And suddenly for the rest of Reagan's term, they had to drug him with speed to get him out of bed and give him cue cards to march him out. Ronald Reagan was under mind control after that shooting, after they got him in that military base for his treatment. And again, this is all declassified, MKUltra, MKNaomi. By the 50s, they could create a totally programmed mind control assassin. It would take a year of LSD, PCP, other drugs, pumped in sensory deprivation tanks, headphones, pumping programs in, to where when someone is given the code word order, they have an absolute, total, obsessive, compulsive need to kill their target. And they slip into a hypnotized sub-personality to do it. That's just one system. They got History Channel shows about Dr. Ewing Cameron and Jolly and West and facilities in Maryland and Toronto where they did this 100% by the 50s and 60s. Of course, Jolly and West is in those shows. He just died 2 years ago. Guess who was McVeigh's doctor from the time he was arrested in 95 until he was executed at Terre Haute, Indiana? Guess. Go look up the news articles. Dr. Jolly and West, the number two head of all U.S. government mind control programs, was publicly McVeigh's doctor. And I've talked to prisoners and others here on air who knew McVeigh. And, of course, signed affidavits have been made by Nichols and others, and FBI documents have been leaked, and it's been confirmed what they've said, that McVeigh's family was threatened with murder if he didn't go along with it. He was U.S. Special Forces set up, sheep-dipped. He was videotaped at a U.S. military base in demolition section before he was released. I'm going to our guest. This is just so important. Yeah, David Hammer was the prisoner we had on, one of the prisoners we had on about it, that McVeigh, when he wasn't drugged up and when West wasn't there, because Jolly and West wasn't there every week, that McVeigh would say, yes, they set me up, but it doesn't matter, they're going to kill me. And he also told newspapers that a few times. Well, I'd tell you more, but I don't want my family to get hurt. And it goes on and on and on. So they can threaten to kill your family, or they can just grab you as a patsy, keep you drugged up, or they can find a mentally ill person who is handled and manipulated and protected to carry it out, or they've got flat-out MKUltra mind control. Ladies and gentlemen, the North Koreans, who were able to capture some of our airmen, later released them, and the guys had to end up being locked up for the rest of their lives. Same thing with the North Vietnamese, because they were programmed to come back here and kill people. Okay, I mean, look. The Chi-Coms know how to do it. The North Koreans do. This stuff is real. You need to realize what's going on. Okay, I'm going to stop there. If you want to talk, we may get to calls later in the hour, certainly when Dr. Pechenik's on with us. If you want to get lined up now to come on air, the toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. But finishing up, police knew gunman's name before the arrest. They show up on the island calling out his name. That's mainline British Channel 4 and also Norwegian TV. Anders Breivik, manufactured Patsy article by Paul Watson, goes through the fact that they removed all the liberal stuff off his Facebook and posted that he was a Christian conservative. They removed the Mason stuff. It's confirmed he's high-level Mason, which, again, I'm not saying all the Masons are New World Order. Most of them are compartmentalized. They use the secrecy of the lodge for intelligence operations and mind control. That's come out in England and is mainstream news. So we've got the frame-up going on. We've got him saying more cells are about to strike. Going now for a quick pop-in I take you to Robert Jeppestol, and he joins us from the Netherlands in Oslo. He's 29-year-old, barely survived the blast. It blew him back, but he wasn't injured. He was marching right towards it 200 feet away. And we've already covered most of the waterfront on this, though they're now calling to track conservatives that give money to charities. We can now be arrested just like the Muslims can for no reason. The shutdown of conservative websites. YouTube's added the link the week before to report things that, quote, promote terror. MSNBC saying Ron Paul and I promote terror and are violent in their Rise of the Right special. That's out in the news today. Killer personifies Rise of the New Right. Of course, the same Financial Times talks about how helpful terror attacks would be for the government. Going now to Robert. Robert, good to have you with us, sir. Break down the latest developments and your take on it.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be back. First of all, I have not yet told the listeners how sorry I feel for the families and their friends of the victims. My deepest condolences are extended to you who have lost loved ones. Today's news picture in Norway has been mostly the pre-trial or the jail hearing, where, well, I for one certainly hoped that they would have an open hearing. They didn't.
Well, that's a big issue, isn't it? That they read what he supposedly said and used a term used by the neocons and mainline conservatives, cultural Marxism, and that is what it is. That is going on. So now if you talk about cultural Marxism, why you must be a killer, and the fact that they wouldn't let him speak himself, does that not up the suspicion level here?
Sure. It's just getting stranger, and I also saw a report from a small town in France near Toulouse, where his father lived, and they were vague about connections. They didn't have any. They didn't talk or see each other for several years. I mean, maybe we should investigate this some more, because his real connection, because it seems bookish.
Yeah, let's talk about the Israel connection. There was a Palestinian youth group. The government of Norway was obviously calling for Palestine to be recognized. They were about to pull their planes out of Libya. Reportedly, there were all these Palestinian people at a rally at this island the day before. He was trying to kill the former prime minister, who's a big Palestinian supporter. That's now in the news today. This is the anniversary of the King David Hotel bombing. It was admittedly a bombing carried out by Israel against the British in Palestine pre-Israel. And it first tried to be blamed on the Arabs, but then that didn't work. So all of this going on. And it's funny, I didn't play the whole Michael Savage clip, but Michael Savage points out in that clip and others that we just played, you can just search Michael Savage, Obama Reichstag. He talks about, why does he say Rahm Emanuel will be involved in stage terror, Reichstag events, stage bombings or fires? He says because he's the son of the head of Irgun, who staged terror attacks and are leftist terrorists. I mean, that's Michael Savage, who, by the way, is Jewish himself, saying this. What's your view on the situation since you bring up Israel?
Well, I think Webster Topley may be correct when he says there's a connection with the Palestine issue, but you know, the in the aftermath of this happening, I guess people are just gathering around the Workers' Party and the AUF. The youths were you know, training for becoming participants in the Workers' Party, which is by far the biggest party. And I guess they will only get more power and have more numbers to vote the way the globalists want them to, as a result of this. So I guess the Palestine issue is a side issue. It may be a trigger, but, you know, not the whole shebang.
Now, in a way, though, why would Israel, and we're certainly looking at that, we just went over the evidence, so that it's got, let me be clear, there's evidence pointing towards this being a false flag, provocateur event, and we've gone over that constellation of evidence. I, right now, cannot single out specifically what group would stand to gain other than just big government itself by invoking a clash between Islam and Christianity, which this guy's manifesto is calling for. That will undoubtedly trigger some real copycats to engage in their own attacks, so the government won't have to even manufacture them in some cases. This will also probably stimulate Muslims, or it's an attempt to stimulate Muslims in Europe, to strike back, to invoke that clash of civilizations that the neocons and the Council on Foreign Relations talk about. And then the social engineers, the globalists, can sit back and play the two groups off against each other while taking everyone's rights in the name of refereeing the clash of the crusade and the jihad that is going on. So clearly that's the overall motive. Restrict guns in Norway, restrict guns in other areas of Europe, England, the United States, the calls are being made. Track conservatives, rebrand mainline political nationalism as connected to terrorism. But specifically with Israel, staging an attack against Norway because they're pro-Palestinian, that would actually then, when it comes out this guy was a big Israel supporter and very scared of Muslims, that in a way would actually discredit and demonize the pro-Israel people. So it's very sophisticated, but Tarpley says that doesn't matter, and I tend to agree with him. At an Operation Gladio level, it's a message to governments. I mean, the prime minister and the former prime minister almost got killed at the island. This is a major message to them. Hey, you better do what we're telling you or you're dead. But again, who would want to send that message? Go ahead.
Yeah, listen, sir. There's a lot of things I think from here domestically talking against that point. For Stoltenberg, the prime minister now, he has some Jewish ancestors. His name is Stoltenberg from a predominant Jewish family from Poland a long time ago. His sister, also Stoltenberg, works for the People's Health, Folkehelse Institute, started by the Rockefeller Foundation.
He knows he's at Bilderberg. So you're saying the coalition parliament was about to be removed from power in the next election, polls showed. So you're saying it points towards, well, he is a Bilderberg group member, them staging this against themselves to discredit the rise of nationalists in Norway.
Yeah, I would guess. I mean, he works so closely with the Bill and Melinda Gates Fund, taking trips, pictures with them, subsidizing vaccines in Africa. It all seems so closely integrated.
So you disagree with Tarpley then that this was aimed as a threat towards the government?
Well, maybe the government in general, but not let's say the Norwegian establishment. No, I mean, also with Gro Harlem Brundtland, the former World Health Organization General Secretary. I mean, she just left the island. It all, it seems too...
Exactly.
...too much of a setup.
Exactly. Well, there's no doubt that they're attacking and demonizing nationalists, conservatives, folks that don't want wide open borders, welfare states. I mean, that's definitely going on. They're definitely using it. It's got all the signs of a staged event. What do you make of his Facebook being altered and the Masonic stuff being removed and the gay stuff being removed and being added Christian conservative when even his friends are saying he wasn't really a Christian conservative? What do you make of the fact that there's not a bigger hubbub over the fact that his Facebook was altered to frame conservatives and Christians?
The first I heard of this was, and I have so much respect for Mr. Paul Joseph Watson and his article, and the first time I saw it was in his article. I thought I had just removed it. But they're throwing labels, they're just sending spreading disinformation. It's just confusion about where he stands, where he comes from. So as you said, they're building a character. They're making this, you know, fictional demon. It seems like obviously he's distorted, but there's something more, and they're making what that is.
Well, it's just like 9/11. The fact that you had not one but two passports going out of their clothes, out of the fireballs, out of the building, down to the ground, and then found undamaged later in the day and given to the FBI. I mean, if you'll buy that, folks, you'll buy that one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eaters are real, or that, you know, Keebler elves are real. It is completely asinine. And evidence of the frame-up is evidence that it's an inside job. And the fact that his Facebook and a bunch of other stuff was doctored right after he was arrested, that the cops knew his name before the arrest and yelled it out at him. You add all this together, my friend, this is very, very suspicious. And the fact that they, you know, the cherry on top, the coup de grâce, what do they call it in French? You know, the last straw is that they won't let him be seen on camera and speak for himself, and they read statements. Now you're Norwegian. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you have incredible rights over there. Truly a democratic society at many levels, and that prisoners have incredible rights, and that they never bar prisoners from speaking at their arraignment. Is that correct?
No, it's not entirely correct, because there's a paragraph that if the investigation would be compromised, then they can isolate them or bar the press or people from coming into the jail hearing. They can also, I guess, he's isolated for 4 weeks without letters and visits, and they can. You have as a sort of how to get rid of people. I gather in America, assassinations is the preferred way of getting rid of unwanted elements. But in Norway, we have, and the author I talked about yesterday has written extensively about this. We have a very efficient system to take them into mental hospitals, and they disappear. And it won't be long, I think.
So you're saying it's more of the Soviet model, and he'll probably now disappear off into a mental institution, and that way we never find out who really did this. Well, we're going to check back in with you in the days to come. We're also going to open the phones up in the days to come for Norwegians. In fact, I should do that today after we go through these calls to be able to get on air with us and also give us their perspective and their view. But not letting him speak, keeping him sequestered, very, very suspicious, and only adds to the quandary. I want to thank you, Robert, for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Now, look, I know we've got Tommy, Dean, Brenda, Tanner, Aaron, and others, and I want to take a bunch of calls today. Also got Dr. Steve Pachenik coming up, and you know he'll want to roll with info, but I'm going to be jamming your calls in quickly as soon as he gets on with us. I'm going to get his take on this and then take your calls and get his comments. And then we got Dr. Tarpley joining us the last 30 minutes today. Tarpley brings up one of the most important issues that I'd forgotten about over a year ago, and then more came out over the weekend, that the CIA was infiltrating Norwegian police and that NATO was doing it. And then now we learn recruiting retired police to, quote, counter the terror because the government wouldn't. And then you're the counterterrorism forces in Spain, in England, the Russians, the Nazis. It's always the anti-terror forces that are the masters of staging false flags for political gain. So you've got a major attack on Norwegian sovereignty, and that is at the heart of this. Switzerland and Norway both have had now suspicious shootings at government buildings. They had a lot of one of their state governments killed a few years ago in Switzerland, right as a vote was coming up to restrict guns, but the Swiss voted it down. The Swiss and the Norwegians are under globalist attack. Now, I'm not saying the Norwegians are not New World Order central. They are, but they're one of those zones that isn't completely under its control, though their leadership is pro-New World Order. The globalists like to have their own select backwaters to operate out of. I've got Ron Paul news, economic news, police state news, human-animal hybrid news that's in BBC, AP, Australian news, yes, they got part human, part animal clones. Folks, we're not in Kansas anymore. Every time I talk about this stuff, I get emails saying I'm lying. I read about human-animal clones in the BBC 15 years ago. There are giant laboratories everywhere doing whatever they want. The dehumanization is off the charts. You're eating GMO food designed to sterilize you. Now, I want to briefly get into financial news before we get into it more after Dr. Pechenik leaves us. Gold hits new high as debt talks stall. We've got the dollar plunging right now. And why? Because they have announced they're going ahead with QE3. That means further global currency devaluations. So oil, food, all commodities, pork bellies, corn, grain, gold, silver, it's all going to go up. People on fixed, I got articles where they're ordering major police departments around the country and fire departments to give half their pensions to the government. Now, it's already started in Europe. The feds changed the laws 5 years ago to do this. How many times have you heard me say this? They're now saying, give us half your pension. That's at AP today. This is being announced all over the country. Give us half your pension or you'll get nothing. And then you're going to give them half, and then 5 years later, they'll take the other half, and you'll end up being played like a sucker. It's like, give me half your cake, or I'll throw it off the table. You give them half the cake. Give me the other half, or I'll throw it off the table. And then when it gets down to the last crumb, they throw it off the table and laugh at you. How do you protect yourself? Gold and silver. Who's got the best deals? Ted Anderson. He has the best deals. He bought it when it was low a few months ago. He's almost out of the gold and silver he bought when it was lower, and it's going to go up. Ted Anderson, quickly, give folks today's gold and silver offer. I don't even need to get into the economy. I told them it's happening. They're coming after your pension funds. People are insane if they stay in these pension funds, in my opinion. I have zero in the stock market. I'm in cash, gold, and silver. That's it. Cash, gold, and silver, and a tiny bit of real estate so I can cash it in and keep running the operation if I need to. Ted Anderson, tell us about today's offer.
Well, right now, the best deal that I have is the American Dream video and Mark Dice's book. It's $80 plus $5 shipping and handling, $85 delivered. That's two silver dollars, the video and the book. People need to be getting involved, Alex. I mean, for goodness sakes, the way that Bloomberg is reporting it, no matter what happens, whether if they reach this debt limit and they increase it or they default on it, gold and silver is going to rise. It's a win-win either way. Right now, British sovereigns are currently at 444. Francs are at $354. Gold hit a high today of 1621 in the physical delivery market, 1624.30 in the futures market. Silver right now, $40.93. I mean, it is just smoking right now.
Yeah, for those that don't know, you notice a couple of weeks ago it was $75 for two silver dollars, a free book, a free video, and free shipping. Then it was $80. Now it's $85 because Ted was buying as the market was down. But then as it went up, we're now getting into gold and silver he bought as it started going up a few months ago. Soon these deals will be gone, but he's buying now. So we'll have a special for you when gold and silver go up even more. It'll be at today's prices. Get in a time machine. Go back, get silver, get gold. It's a whole list of radio specials. Get in the time machine, get the good deals today, and get the free books and videos. You can't beat that deal. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Or you can just let them destroy the stock market and take your pension funds. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Dr. Steve Pechenik on this kickoff of the White Al-Qaeda scaremongering will be joining us coming up in the next segment. I promise we'll get to your calls early in this hour. We've got Norway killer confirms prime minister was prime target, confesses in court, but not publicly where you can see it, pleads not guilty, says he wanted to save Europe, claims two more cells are in our, quote, organization, that way they can run around and take everybody's rights, who's, quote, conservative. His MySpace, or excuse me, Facebook has been changed to remove all the liberal stuff and add that he was a Christian conservative. Death toll lowered to 76, thank God. Manifesto suggests he wanted to spark a crusade, clash of civilizations. faces just 21 years in jail. That's 81 days per person. Europe on alert. And here's another one from Drudge Report. In Germany, Israeli orchestra to play Hitler's favorite composer. Another study. Going offline as hard as quitting smoking or drinking. Yeah, tell me about it. That's just part of it. China in a Iran plan for oil barter. So everybody moving away from the dollar. The dollar turns 150 years old. Yeah, we didn't have dollar. We had gold and silver before that. Showdown, market spooked, dollar stumbles, gold at record highs. I want to go to Ted Anderson, but I've got a report here at Infowars.com by the Alexander Higgins blog, and he's got a link to the CNN report, and sure enough, and I'm seeing more and more calls for this in Ireland, in Spain, Portugal, Italy, Greece. City to firefighters and police retirees, give up 50% of your pension or risk losing it all. And this is in Central Falls, Rhode Island, but I'm seeing reports of this all over the country, including Texas and Michigan, California. And this is what they've done in other countries. So they infect your pension funds by investing them in derivatives. And then they say, let us cut your pension fund or you'll never get anything. This is how the trap is set. I've told folks they should look at silver and gold, Ted. We're going into hyperinflation. People think silver and gold's high now. Folks thought silver was high at $10 an ounce and gold at $500. And they said, oh, it's gonna plunge. Not as long as they're devaluing, Ted.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, people that are sitting here with their money and the pensions and so on and so forth, I mean, they're going to be the ones that are going to be hurting the most. Anybody with a fixed income, because what they're going to see is a lot of inflation. They're going to see the markets tipsy-turvy. It's going to be very difficult for anybody that's worked all their lives figuring that they can live off of their savings, unless if they have gold and silver. Because like the way that Matthew Zimmerman said it, he's a strategist with Kingsview Financial in Chicago, and this is Bloomberg's report, it says gold is a can't-lose situation with the debt negotiations, because regardless of the outcome, the dollar is going to suffer. Because the bottom line is, if Congress decides to raise the debt limit, they're going to print a whole bunch of more money. If they don't raise the debt limit, we're going to lose our credit rating internationally. Doesn't matter. Either way, people that have their money in paper investments are going to get destroyed. And it's just absolutely crazy that this is how things are turning out, because we stuck with constitutional money. There's no way that this could have ever happened. But you can do it by yourself. You can go to gold and silver. That's why I think this silver offer with the videos is so important, because people are going to actually be able to see how money comes into existence. That American Dream video puts it into an entertaining and very simple way of seeing it. You can just see who's behind
the
scenes.
Look, you're getting silver dollars at a price you can't find them anywhere else, and you're getting a free book and great film about the banksters on top of it. That deal's incredible. But folks will be getting in to the other radio specials, gold and silver coins. When you call, ask for a list of radio specials, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. Look at the track record. We told you buy silver when it was $5 an ounce, gold when it was $300. Now look at it, folks. Now is the time to get involved. 800-686-2237. Don't get caught with your pants down. Thank you, Ted Anderson.
Thanks, Alex.
Steve Pachena coming up.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Dr. Webster Tarpley says this is a false flag staged event with a mentally ill patsy, and we've got him joining us the last 30 minutes today. I know we've got callers holding. We're going to get to you after Dr. Steve Pachinik has his say. When I told my producer to set up Dr. Pachinik yesterday, I didn't know what his view would be on this. And I just talked to him during the break, and his view out of the gates differs from my preliminary view. But I'm going to listen, and I respect what he has to say. Now, of course, if you go over Dr. Steve Pachinik's bio, he's probably been on the show 10, 12 times over the years. He is the co-author of Tom Clancy's books. He's the case that he's the person that the Jack Ryan character is based on. He's the advisor, technically, so the books are accurate. And, of course, he worked in psychiatry at Harvard. I mean, if you go over his whole bio, it's very lengthy. He wrote the book on psychological warfare for the State Department used by the CIA. And a question I've raised to him before that he's never really gotten into, and I bring it up, is the death of the Italian president, which the London Telegraph says reportedly was manipulated by Dr. Pechenik. He manipulated the communist into killing him. And perhaps today we'll get him to talk about that. I mean, this is somebody whose bio would take hours to go over, stevepechenik.com. And he joins us, and talking to the doc during the break, he said, no, this is the real deal. This is bona fide terror. He's creating a narrative to launch a whole movement. But isn't, and that's what I've been saying, but from another perspective, the globalists want a clash of civilization. The neocons talked about that, playing Christendom off against Islam, while then the globalists basically play the part of the arbiter or the referee and have a police state crackdown on the entire general public in the name of creating safety. This way, no one can be trusted, not whites, not Arabs, not Muslims, not Christians. Nobody can be trusted but Big Brother State. And the telescreens, of course, now going in 9,000 locations, big TV screens saying, spy on your neighbor. I saw the preparation to this saying, white Al-Qaeda is about to hit. Give up your rights when white Al-Qaeda, the right-wingers are about to hit. The rise of the right on MSNBC saying, Ron Paul and I want violence. We don't want open borders. We don't want globalism. We don't want a banker takeover. We're the terrorist. So I've seen this narrative being prepared, people's minds being prepared. So I called the day before. I said, white Al-Qaeda is about to strike. I said, it'll be right wing. They'll say it's in Europe and the United States. They'll claim it's militias that are against open borders and against the banker takeover. Well, voila, this guy comes out and says it. His Facebook has been changed from saying he's a Knights Templar Mason to that he's a Christian conservative. This was done after he was captured. The police knew his name when they raided the facility. But if you're going to stage terror, normally terror is staged that actually backfires on those that carry it out. That's why you can see that it's staged. In this case, he is trying to launch a giant movement. They wouldn't let him be seen by reporters when he confessed today. He may be whisked away into their famous mental institution, Soviet style. But enough from me. I've set the table with that. We've talked about it, but I really respect Dr. Pechenik's view. You know, he said the Bin Laden thing is totally fake, the killing, and that the Situation Room video and photos were fake. Came out days later, they were. The throwing him in the ocean, totally fake. The whole story, not true. Now we've never seen the wives. Turns out Pakistan doesn't have them. So he's right there. He says 9/11 inside job completely, how it was carried out, you know, where it was planned, all of that information. So I really respect him. But why is he saying this is real? Dr. Pechenik, you've got the floor, but then I want to ask you, why then did I see this build up to white Al-Qaeda or white right-wing extremism? Were the intelligence agencies aware of this, and did they allow it happen? Did they allow it to happen? Or did they have their Google actuaries tracking chatter? How was this known?
Yep.
Doc, your phone is breaking up a little bit. Dr. Pechenik, specifically, what is going on with this event?
This is an event that I wrote about and was worried about 20 years ago in a novel that I wrote under the name of Alexander Kort, C-O-U-R-T, called Active Measures, and it started in Sweden and in Norway. This is unlike any other event we've ever seen. This is not just some right-wing screwballs. First of all, this man is exceedingly sane. Whatever else anybody's going to tell you, he is very sane. He's extremely calculated. He's very well-read. This is not a crazy man who suddenly decided to do something. He made it very clear what his motives were. And the reason he made it very clear, this is the pristine case of terrorism that I've been waiting for and I've seen before, but this is not a false flag. This is not a stand down. This is not somewhere where suddenly any administration knew about an impending or wished for an impending right-wing movement. And I'll tell you why. Number one, his understanding of terror was absolutely perfect. He understood that terror is not the destruction of a building, it's not the destruction of any institution, but it is literally the creation of the emotion of terror, and he did it brilliantly. I don't think he did it alone. I think he had help, not a particular scene, but he did have help from other countries, and I will talk about it. He blew up a building, which created enough terror because he did it at the right time when everybody was gone, and he did it under the building where the prime minister was, which means he was targeting the fact that they were extremely vulnerable, that the prime minister and the Labour Party is vulnerable. He could get them anytime he wanted. Then he took 1 hour to an hour and a half and went to an island and killed 80 white Aryan children who were the successor to political throne. Now, let me explain this. This sounds Machiavellian, but it is. In the words of terrorism, no one has pulled this type of exercise of distraction, distortion, and at the same time kill the very people you would not expect them to kill. Because if this were a plan or a false flag, unlike the other situations, he turned it around and did exactly what in terrorism one would do, which is to kill the very people he wanted to have associate with him.
Well, let me stop now, you, Doc, because let me stop
minute,
you.
Alex, listen to me. The analog to this is not McVeigh. It is not Al-Qaeda. You have to go back to 1922 and 1923. He's literally following the steps of the very people he's accusing, and that is Hitler. Hitler in 1922-23, when he was arrested to make sure that he was not executed. He did not want to be executed.
The beer hall putsch.
Listen, and then later on in the 1930s, he took all of the people around him who were Aryans and homosexuals and executed 300 of them in order to make a political deal. This man has understood, studied terrorism, has understood the integration of the icons of terrorism, the icons of Christianity, some of which are wrong. He understood Marxism. He understood exactly what multiculturalism. He understood that France refused to have multiculturalism, and he used as a target audience the problem of multiculturalism, but he didn't go out and kill any Muslims or multicultural elements. He killed his own people to explain that he is able to take down any political system. Then he very calmly sat down, explained his motivation so there would be no confusion as to the fact that he was nuts. I wrote about this 20 years ago in a novel saying that the banality of evil, it's not anything that's egregious. It is the banality of evil is the ability to affect this type of terror so that you can terrorize a system or country and eventually a world. Now, what makes him very lethal is that he will polarize and have around him all the white discontent men and women who are now looking to the right, in Europe in particular, and in Norway in particular. Now, what makes it very unusual is you have to understand what Norway is. Nobody's talked about Norway. I've worked in Norway. I know Norway. Norway is a country that had a history of collaborating with the Nazis, with Quisling. Remember the term Quisling, Alex?
Yes.
You have to explain to your audience. He was the prime minister and foreign minister of Norway during World War II and affiliated himself with the Nazis. So within Norway, you had a system where you had an understrain of the notion of being a monolithic Aryan people who affiliated with the Nazis. Now, in all due respect to the Norwegians, they also, in the fjords where I was, they fought the Nazis subsequently and held down 400,000 troops. So what I'm saying to you is this is not only an individual, this is a cultural confluence of Norwegian national character, where it's only 4.5 million, of the historical elements that they had in Norway, not in Christianity. Norway is not a great Christian country. It's a Lutheran country which is subjugated to the state. So his pronouncements of of Christianity is really the deification of Catholicism, which is in France, totally different. His understanding of Christianity is mistaken. because the Knights of Templar did not come from any Aryan country. They came from the areas that I grew up in France, in the south of France, in Toulouse, and they were basically wayward individuals who had no work and were then empowered by the Pope to go forth into Jerusalem and eventually became exceedingly corrupt. Now, having said that, my point is, this is a perfect execution of a terrorist act without destroying a building. I mean, he created a destruction of a building, but he created terror throughout the system in order to mobilize a political party. Now, can the CFR and other governments have the repression subsequent to that? Yeah, but do they intend to do that? No, and I'll tell you why. No system, including our own system, is that smart or that clever or capable. The stand down and the false flag that occurred in 9/11 was done in the Bush Jr. administration with neocons and ones who understood in a backward, almost a reverse way. They were so clear and so awkward in their stand and false flag that it was easy for me and others who knew the intelligence community to say this was false flag.
All right.
This is not a predictable element.
All right, we've got a break. We're going to come right back. I've got my points to make. And then your phone calls are coming up with Dr. Steve Pachinik. I just see the... Well, Dr. Steve Pachinik is an expert in terrorism, on terrorism. That's why he's the advisor to some of the most best-selling authors out there, like Tom Clancy, and co-author of many of those books and major films. But I look at this, and I see the neocons saying we want to invoke a clash of civilizations between Christendom and the Muslims. And so the way this is launched, undoubtedly, they're going to be real copycats that take up this entire military manual on how to do it, who to attack, what their views are, that it's meant to generate, kind of like Carter setting up Al-Qaeda in 79. Sure, the command system's run by the West, but it's a idea that then gets picked up and actually organically carried out. So that's how you have staged Al-Qaeda, synthetic Al-Qaeda versus real Al-Qaeda. And so I see this launching the clash of civilizations, but then the governments that have been hyping that this is coming, they can then come in and say, now we've got to take everybody's rights. No one can be trusted because, see, the right-wingers that don't like the banker bailouts, that don't like open borders, who don't like cultural Marxism, they're bad guys. I mean, I see this really helping the corrupt ruling establishment. Dr. Pachinik, I'm not saying I disagree with you, and I do see the point that stage terror always hits a target that hurts civilians. It's never really striking the ruling class. I mean, real terrorists would go after David Rockefeller. They'd go after Lord Rothschild. They'd go after the Queen of England. They would go after, real people at their houses. I mean, it's easy to kill people. Why do they usually hit some public place? Well, that's to scare the public because the state or elements of it are attacking the people. They want you to run into their arms, so they attack you. I mean, I get what you're saying, and that's why this whole case has given me a headache. But we also have his Facebook being altered from this Knights Templar.
Literally, Alex, there are times when we don't agree, but we do agree. Let's just, I want to do a little footnote. In June, you and I talked about the British collusion with the media and the press and the king. And I told you they were corrupt. The intelligence community was corrupt. The press was corrupt. 6 weeks later, the whole Murdoch issue comes out, and you and I were right. All right? And the BBC, who were sitting there, you forgot to mention that. So we were right.
No, but you said all their major media is government intelligence.
And the police department was involved. Scotland Yard was involved. So you and I are correct. We're often very aligned in what we say. And there are really collusions and there are corruptions. This is not the same case, my friend. And the reason I argue that is this man did target the prime individual he wanted, and that was the prime minister. But more sinisterly, and this is where you have to understand, and I'll go into the neocon. There's no neocon who's smart enough, calculating enough. Most of them are chicken hawks. They're cowards, where they're Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl, Hadley. All of them were just sycophants and panderers. This is not a sycophant here. You're talking about a man who deifies being alone. and the ability to be alone. And let me go into that. So you have to understand a little bit about Norway, and I want your listeners to understand.
Yeah, the power of one.
Wait a minute. Norway is a monolithic country. It's 4.5 million people. They have no debt, unlike the United States. They have a cash flow that's constant because of the North Sea oils. They have constant oil. They are a socialist country for the most part. They have a king and queen that's very little. But they have a history of the individual being a very strong person. Now, I don't want to get too cultural on you, but many people in the audience have to understand this. Norwegian are great people. They produced a man by the name of Henrik Ibsen, a famous playwright, who we still do the Dolls have, but more importantly, he wrote The Master Builder, which is exactly what this individual is saying when he quotes Jonathan Milton, and he says, the individual is more powerful than the society. This man is saying, in effect, with no neocon, no government, no other institution has been able to argue or suppress that the individual is without need, and the individual of belief can create more disaster than the individual who has some interest. This was also written by Ibsen. They then had another famous writer by the name of Knut Hamsun, who won a Nobel Prize in Literature, who reaffirmed, again, the Norwegian cultural element that talks about the misery of the state and the society and the importance of the individual. So you have to, Alex, with all due respect, you are your scholar in your own way, to understand what makes Norway different from the United States and the neocons here. And the neocons aren't relevant. We do not have a society here with something the FBI is going to suppress you or any. No, mm-hmm. Listen to me. I know where our capabilities are. We don't have a military that will come down and take us away. We don't have a system that's able or willing or capable to take us all away.
That's why it's all happen. A big psyop. We've got to go to break.
Listen, if you see nothing in Hollywood, i.e. Washington, D.C., you've seen the follies and incompetence of a dysfunctional government, both on the right and the extreme right, with your Ron Pauls and all the other guys who talk about social conservative.
Okay, we're going back to Dr. Steve Pachinik with some very insightful information. I have studied the sociology, the anthropology of Scandinavia. My wife has lived there. They're all about being individuals. And that's why it's one of the few places socialism quasi works, because they individually agree on a collective of socialism, but the individual is above all else. And Pachinik, who's a psychiatrist, board-certified examining psychiatrist, wrote psychological warfare manuals for the U.S. government. He's gone over all this. We're going back to him in just a moment. Before I go any further, this is one of the most popular items we've ever offered. You need to remember, this radio show is listener-supported. And so your purchase of books, videos, DVDs, T-shirts, they not only get the word out when you show friends the videos or make copies of them or wear an Infowars.com T-shirt or pass out a citizen rule book, you also fund our operation. And we got these made in America. The filtration system's made in America. The stainless steel outside is Chicom. But the point is, we couldn't find one totally made in America. It's bisphenol A free. It does over 100 gallons. And it removes 99.9% of basically everything. Nothing removes 100%, but it reduces everything. It's the Aqua Vessel, Infowars.com, emblazoned there. And these are almost sold out. And we just put another order in. There'll be some more in next week. But if you want to get these, they're available at Infowars.com. Or you can trust the government and drink the toxic tap water that they shovel at us. And, of course, we're also adding, starting September 1st, the weekly, nightly radio show that's already simulcast via television. We're going to add a 30-minute news show that comes on at 7 o'clock Central every evening, stream live out to everybody. And we're also going to be adding other special live reports and events at PrisonPlanet.tv. So if you support what we're doing, sign up at PrisonPlanet.tv today. Okay, let me stop right there. My issue is that governments have been caught staging terror attacks over and over and over again. Private corporations do it. Hitler did it with the Reichstag and Gleiwitz to start World War II. At Gleiwitz, he used Reichstag to seize more power in February of 1933. We've seen army manuals on how to stage false flags. We've seen countless examples of this. So that's why out of the gates, I always look at things and ask who benefits. And I saw this huge buildup that, okay, we're not going to brand terrorism as Muslim anymore. We're going to move it over to conservatives who don't want a new world order. Now, this guy reportedly attacks, reportedly confesses today, but we're not allowed to see that on camera. His Facebook gets altered. The police knew who he was when they got there to the island. But then on the other side, he picks an island for the idea of psychological isolation and the fear of being shot while you're swimming on vacation and the children of the socialist elite and the multiculturalist, sellouts, as he calls them, being killed. If he would have targeted the Muslims, it would have made them the victims. Instead, he went after the true ruling class that he saw as perpetrating it. I see the precision. I see the clear-eyed way he did this. I understand that the people in Scandinavia are normally the folks that, you know, climb Mount Everest and are into all of this, you know, extreme long-distance sports. I understand the psychology. And he wanted to sell the idea that the individual lone wolf can bring you down anytime we want. That's why 90% of warfare is psychological. The system creates the idea you're powerless. They build giant capital buildings to make you feel like you're little because it's the opposite. And I agree, his message of you are the individual, you are unstoppable, is the polar opposite of what neocons and liberals and collectivists push. The only way they would trigger this is to create, and they did this with Al-Qaeda, the idea of the individual, the army of one, that the U.S. military talks about, to sell the idea of a clash in Europe with the Muslims. And some would say that points towards Israel. So, Dr. Pechenik, you've got the floor, and then I want to go to calls. We'll keep you some into the next hour to get more into the info, but I promise to go to calls during this hour. But I understand where you're going with all of this, and I know you've read over his material, show of eyes. Break down exactly where you're going with this, and then the $64 million question. Clearly, he's saying he didn't work alone. Other cells are about to strike, and boy, what a favor he's giving the establishment, because they're not going to be able to stop these cells, whether they're behind him or not. They're sure going to be able to demonize Alex Jones and Ron Paul.
I don't think they're going to demonize Alex Jones or Ron Paul or even me or anybody else. What this is about is not even relevant about you and me or anybody who says they state that they're the extreme right. The state at this point is totally impotent. It has nothing to do with this act of terror. This act of terror is bred, as I said to you and you said, out of their own confluence of culture and a man who has been systematically working out on the philosophy, methodology, not alone, but as it was said in 2002, he met with a group of others in England. I suspect that British intelligence knows a lot about this and will assist the Norwegians. But more importantly, what this is about is to literally say what he said, which is to polarize the system. In short, let me call this a virtual putsch, a P-U-T-S-C-H, which is what Hitler did in the 1923s by creating a situation where he could create agitation, kill his own people, eventually the long knife, and this is a virtual push. He says very clearly, this gentleman, this man here, he says, Berwick says, there are situations in which cruelty is necessary, and refusing to apply necessary cruelty is a betrayal of the people whom you wish to protect. No government will go out and allow an individual to kill 80 children. That is counterproductive to terrorism and allying sympathy in order to have a group, other than the fact that you have an individual who's saying, look, I'm above all the laws, above all government systems, and above all ideology, and he spells it out. There's no neocon, there's no individual in our government who can sophisticatedly put this all together. You overestimate, and many of the people who listen to you overestimate the effectiveness of a government, any government, to effectuate any counter-terrorist movement or even a terrorist movement. The false flag and stand down at 9/11 9/11 was done in preparation over a period of time by two guys who were very clear about it. That was Bush Jr., Rumsfeld, and the neocons. I knew about that a long while before, and I was against it. This is very different. This has been in preparation for a long while, and my suspicion goes to Sweden, because in Sweden, where I wrote about this book 20 years ago in Active Measures under the name Alexander Court, I pinpointed the rise of the neo-Nazis and the Aryan supremacy, which, by the way, the Swedes are not Aryan, and the use against the Christian religion, which they're not Christian, by the way. It's Lutheranism subsumed underneath the nation state to attack Muslims so they could stop the immigration of Muslims going through. This was not an attempt to polarize the system into allowing the state to suppress the individuals. That's the act of terrorism. This is not what he's saying. He doesn't want the state to suppress the individual. He wants to say that he and other individuals will suppress the state, and that in this world of the 21st century technology, where he can use a semi-automatic weapon and kill 80 kids in 90 minutes and be able to blow up a building with ammo, he can be more effective than 100,000 people. And he's absolutely right. He proved it. I think it's a big mistake to compare this to Al-Qaeda, McVeigh, or anything else. This is what we say in the business, sui generis. I've been waiting for this type of pristine terrorism, and it sounds cynical, to work with it and say, how do we stop it? Because his attempt is to basically create an army, a virtual army of individual terrorists under the rubric of Christian, which he mistakenly calls Catholic because the Knights Templar were Catholic, and they were also of many other disreputable elements. And he's saying to those others, I want you to arise as individuals, not in the group. This is a very different message. This is what I call the 21st century neo-Nazi movement, but it really mirrors much more Hitler's rise to power.
Well, let me ask you, you say you've gone over his material. Are you seeing neo-Nazi stuff? Because there's a lot of Islamophobia, and he quotes a lot of neocon Jewish writers. I mean, are you saying he's a neo-Nazi?
Well, I'm saying, for want of any term, he's a 21st century virtual terrorist. He knows exactly how to use the icons, the music, and he knows how to put it all together. He knows how to quote Franz Kafka. I mean, he says he's inspired by Franz Kafka, The Trial. Franz Kafka was a Jew. He doesn't care all that much about religion as much as he cares to mobilize all the elements of a mixed ideology, including communism, which he's against, although he doesn't realize that he's acting very much like Stalin and Trotsky. He's a Trotskyite. Like many of the neocons, he's a Trotskyite, which means, in effect, he didn't understand the full understanding of what he was writing about. A Trotskyite believes in revolution, irrespective of what your religion and ethnicity.
Yeah, no, that's their big. Well, they believe in blood. Now, blood flowing is their little secret chant. Now, let's go back here, though, because I got an email about this and I looked it up. I hadn't heard you on Coast to Coast, but you just mentioned it, and I went and found the quote. But you said you knew about the 9/11 plan, or you just alluded to that, before it happened. So let's digress into that. You're saying you know who was specifically involved planning 9/11, and the report was...
I don't want to get into that now. You know, you and I have talked about that before.
Not on this show. You said 1991.
I've been on your show. I predicted correctly that Osama bin Laden would be put out. I didn't stop it. I didn't know exactly what the plan was, but it's not a very difficult plan to figure out. If you've got Paul Wolfowitz, University of Chicago, trained under Wolfstetter, who writes a book on Stand Down and False Flag of Pearl Harbor, you don't have to be a psychiatrist. If you know who Elliot Abrams is, and he's a counsel on foreign relations, and he's been involved in all kinds of chicanery for 20 years under different administrations, it's not difficult.
This Why do criminals as a psychiatrist?
What we're talking about. I said it 10, 11 years ago. I fought my battle. I worked with those in the system who I won't identify to get rid of Rumsfeld, to get rid of the neocons. And then what happens? Your governor, Perry, goes, and who does he go to talk to? Doug Feith, the worst of the neocons, the stupidest of the neocons, and Don Rumsfeld. So you tell me about stupidity, my friend. how does it perpetuate itself in the Republican Party when you have a Mitt Romney who claims he's American, yet his father was born in Mexico, and he doesn't want to tell the truth? So why don't we talk about the disinformation of the people who are continuously there and stop talking about this national conspiracy? What we have is sociopathy in this country. We have two Mormons running, both of whom are incompetent, both of whom are lying to the public, and the Republicans are saying to you, you know, we're going to put an idiot like Michelle Bachmann, who talks about abortion and stupidity, and was a prosecutor for the IRS and telling you about Tea Party notions.
No, I know.
That's not stupidity.
Doc, I want
to
shift.
My point to you is the government or the system isn't working, my friend. It's not that effective. What we have here is a very effective, pristine act of terror that has far greater significance than any government. It means that there's virtual terrorism. That's why I wrote a series of books called Cyber Terrorism, Cyber Nation, and Active Measures. Those of us who understood it, I could predict it, but I had to use fiction. But we have to talk about a system that's dysfunctional, my friend, and your audience has to understand that. They're presented with a president who can't make a decision, we've talked about that, who's ineffectual, who holds the whole country hostage to a debt limit where we could lose our credit rating. Now, if that's not terrorism, you tell me what is.
No, I hear you. You're absolutely right.
No, it's not just you hear me. This is really dangerous because the markets are already saying if we keep playing this chicken game, it's very dangerous. And on the other side, you've got a moron like Bonner and Cantor, both of whom are totally dysfunctional and represent their own interests. So now,
well,
you
Doc,
tell
listen.
Me, Alex, and ask your audience, who in fact represents this country? The United States of America and our soldiers and the ones who come back and our jobs that we need. Nobody's addressing it.
Yeah, Doc.
You got one more on Michelle Bachmann. You got this guy Karn who's a pizza king. And you got two Mormons who are disasters. Huntsman was my ambassador to Singapore. He can't run his own campaign. He put in $2 million and he doesn't even know how to run a simple
sure.
campaign.
Sure, Dr. Pechenik.
Telling you he's a business.
Dr. Pechenik, I've promised to go to phone calls, but I want to put bookends on the terrorists right now, if I can ask you, and then later we'll get into politics here in just a minute.
No, but it's relevant to this because we have a dysfunctional system, and you're telling me that this system can create an entire suppression of the U.S. people? It's not possible, my friend.
Well, we're going to get in. We'll get into your research into the political rot and the level it's reached, and I agree to you to a certain extent. You just have the bureaucracy and others. And when they do carry out staged events like the bin Laden killing, it is shoddy. It is very obvious versus what's happened with this killer, this reported killer over in Norway. But finishing up with that, when he talks about other cells, at least two other cells and more attacks, and you talk about the fact that he didn't write all this and he didn't put all this together, who do you think's behind this?
Well, I think the Swedes are very much involved with this. There's no question in my mind that part of this organization has Swedish inputs because the Swedes were very much involved in the 1990s when I wrote that book 20 years ago in terms of creating the rise of neo-Nazi and the so-called, quote, Aryan supremacy, when in fact Sweden has a very dangerous history. And that's what I want to get into so people understand this. This is not against all Swedes. The Swedes proclaim neutrality. In the meantime, the famous Wallenberg family, who was supposedly saving Jews, that was a false flag issue because they were ordered by the OSS, a guy named Niels Bohr, the famous physicist, that one of their sons had to either rectify the name. And instead, you had Nazi elements in Sweden that has never changed. First of all, the Swedish king during World War II was a Nazi, was a German. Pro-German. You had Mark Wallenberg, who was developing armaments. Then you had Jacob Wallenberg, who supported the Nazi Party. Sweden allowed 440,000 Nazis to go into Norway and broke the neutrality and allowed the Norwegians to fight them. So on one hand of Norway, you had Quisling. On the other hand, in the fjords, you had all the men and women of Norway fighting the Germans and holding down 440,000 people. So the roots of Nazism comes through Sweden, not Norway, even though you had a Quisling. And you look at Sweden underneath that false flag and underneath the deception and propaganda of neutrality, you will find the roots of the rise of the neo-Nazi in the 21st century. And that's what I would look at.
Well, it is something that we need to continue to research. I just see a Freemason in the Scotland shooting being used to ban guns in the UK. I see the Freemason with the Tasmanian situation in Australia being used. And now this guy was meeting at some type of Knights Templar meeting in England. The whole thing reeks of British intelligence, but you're saying it doesn't. Well, okay, I'm going to get Dr. Machinik to repeat what he said once we went to break. He's on cell phone, so he doesn't hear the music when we're going out to break and kept talking. I wanted to be able to finish his statement when I talked about the British intelligence connection. And then I asked Dr. Pachinik, former top counterterrorism specialist, wrote the book for the State Department on it, carried out many of his own operations himself. Will this guy be successful? And, you know, what group does he think is behind him? And then I promise we're going to your phone calls for those that have been patiently holding. I'm going to get to you. Dr. Pachinik, go ahead and repeat what you were saying.
Well, I said that he had a meeting in 2002 in London with the Knights Templar, where the group was founded. I have no doubt in my mind that British intelligence, MI5, had monitored. If, in fact, there is any affiliation to MI5 or MI6, this will be very, very serious for England, especially after you and I predicted correctly that Murdoch was involved with Scotland Yard and British intelligence. But if this is the case, England is in very serious trouble. I hope it's not the case, but I can't rule it out. The other members of the group, as I said, have Swedish influence. There's no question in my mind that he has been influenced throughout his thinking and preparation by the Swedes and other members around Eastern, Northern Europe, possibly Germans and others who know propaganda and theory. There's a very clear understanding in his presentation, as I called it, a cyber terrorism presentation, because he's using the Internet to brilliantly present propaganda through icons, music, and weapon systems, and creating an ideology and fear through that Internet without necessarily attacking any other institution other than the fact that he wants to promulgate his ideology and make himself the virtual head of the virtual entity called the 21st Century Neo-Nazi Movement. This has nothing to do with Christians in America or the patriots in America or citizen patriots, but it will appeal to many people who are disaffected in Europe and around the world, with unemployment, with lack of jobs, and with immigration. And this is where we have to be very careful, because our own intelligence system better be on top of this. They have to get a group that thinks out of the box, not in the box, and they better start understanding what this is about. This is a form of terrorism that's on steroids. I have waited for this for 20 years. This is unlike anything we've seen before. He will stay alive, and quite frankly, in the world of terrorism, by definition, he is already successful. He has created the terror that he needed. Whether we approve of it or not is not relevant, but he will continue to be successful. Wow. Because he has been able to promulgate his theory, explain it, and appears normal. He is not abnormal, and he is not crazy. It is a big mistake to categorize this individual as anything other than a very calculating cold killer. And you can say whatever you want, neo-Nazi, Christian. I don't believe he's any one of those other than a power grabber and a virtual putsch, which means he's going to be the virtual leader of a 21st century cyber group that will, in fact, confront the issues that the white person feels in a time of dysfunction.
Well, he had to know that he's only going to serve a maximum of 21 years. Under Norwegian law, that's 81 days per person killed. But thank God now they've lowered the number of dead to 76. So that is certainly some good news that that number has been lowered. Now I promise to go to calls, Dr. Pachinik, and I'm sure they'll be all over the map, but you can spar with them back and forth. You know, quite frankly, I don't know if I hope you're right or I hope you're wrong, because it's frightening to think that government intelligence agencies would do something like this to go after the general public, you know, to rebrand the war on terror to everybody. That's frightening. But to think that there is somebody who pulled a Hitler, where he marched on, you know, from the beer hall to the government building to take over, and a bunch of people got shot in that street battle, and then Hitler was put in jail for a couple of years and wrote Mein Kampf, My Struggle. That was certainly all scripted. We'll be right back with the third hour.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're into hour number three. We're going to get a different perspective from Webster Griffin Tarpley coming up in about 30 minutes. Dr. Steve Pachanik's our guest for the next 20. I promise to go to your calls, and I want to hear from you, and I appreciate you holding. Before Dr. Pachanik leaves us, we'll also get into his view on the rotten state of the political ruling class in this country. His websites, of course, stevepachanik.com. Our sites are infowars.com and prisonplanet.tv. If you don't know who Dr. Steve Pachanik is, he's a best-selling author in his own right many times, and also co-authored many books with Tom Clancy. He's also worked on IMDb. You can look at his film, filmography of all the major TV shows and films he's been involved in that have been turned into films via his books. And he, of course, I need to get him on sometime just about his years at the State Department and doing intelligence and assassinations and things like that, because it's very informative and interesting, not just giving his view on what's happening currently. Right now, Tommy, Dean, Brenda, Tanner, Aaron, we'll at least get to you five on whatever subject you want to raise, because I know Dr. Pachanik can cover it, but I would imagine it's about the shooting. Tommy, from Norway. I didn't realize you were from Norway and been holding for over an hour. Sorry, Tommy, I wasn't looking at where you called from. I would have gone to you earlier. Tommy, thanks for holding.
Oh, well, that's fine, Alex. It's my first time calling in ever. I've been listening to your radio show for some time now, and, well, I'm kind of nervous, but I have a couple of questions, actually. I started just off with one. DLD in Norway, the Data Storage Directory, directly translated, is a law which the Labour Party actually last minute switched on and actually got forced through, I think, where they are going to store all the data on every individual citizen that they do online for 6 months prior to deleting it, and that's going to be the law here in Norway.
Oh, yeah, they're going to go after your guns, everything, and you see the buildup to white Al-Qaeda is going to get you. You know, I don't want to disagree with Dr. Pachanik, but and I understand his view on this. He doesn't think British intelligence is competent enough, but, you know, Western intelligence created Al-Qaeda and a narrative that got Muslims to pick up on it, even though they weren't part of the controlled arm. I mean, is it not unwise, Dr. Pachanik, to underestimate the intelligence agencies? I mean, I know you worked in and around them, so I'm not poo-pooing what you've said. I just see too many signs of chicanery. I mean, they may have found and profiled somebody who was intelligent and would fit and would do what he was nudged to do, but you yourself said he couldn't have acted alone.
Yeah, but when we talk about the intelligence agencies, with all due respect, my condolences, Tom. I have great respect for Norway, and I've enjoyed my visits there. You would assume, I want the public to understand, the intelligence agencies are really multiple and very diversified. In the United States, we have over 16 different intelligence agencies.
And there's factions within each one.
I'm sorry?
And there's factions within each, yeah.
And there are factions within them. And you're not talking about one individual that has this incredible super brain that thinks out everything. There are intelligence agencies that deal with espionage, intelligence agencies that deal with satellites. I mean, I don't have to go into specificity. Then you have the National Intelligence Estimate Board. All of these, particularly in our country, have diversified opinions. And believe me, the last thing in the world you want to do is to sit there and claim that there's this monolithic entity that has a monolithic idea about what it is we should or should not do. It all gets filtered usually in a briefing to the President of the United States, and even he is not often aware. Eisenhower, our brilliant president and general, often said, you need a certain kind of genius to run our intelligence service. And what he meant by that is no one, not even he, as a great president as he was during the wartime, really understood how the CIA worked on their own. They're highly individualistic. Nor did he have a full understanding or appreciation of all the intelligence.
All right, stay there, Doc. Although, got a break. Tommy, do you want to add anything else when we come back from Norway?
Yeah, actually.
Stay there. We're going to come back to Tommy from Norway, Dr. Steve Pachenik. All your calls are coming up. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Three, Dr. Webster Tarpley joining us to give us his perspective on the kickoff of the new branding of terror. And regardless of whether it's real or staged, they're certainly going to use it to take our basic liberties and freedoms. They're calling for massive gun control after a guy went in and shot and killed five people in the DFW area of North Texas yesterday. And the issue is, no matter how much gun control you bring in, just like Mexico, total gun ban there for the citizens, people are still going to get guns, and that only makes disarm people victims. But Dr. Steve Pachenik is our guest. Tommy in Norway had more comments, and then we'll get Dr. Pachenik's take on it. Tommy, calling from Norway, what was your other point?
My other point was that most of the youth parties in Norway was against DLD, and the one that was leading that resistance was actually the Labour Youth Party, which then was the people that were mostly on this island that was shot.
Dr. Pachenik, your statement on that?
Most of the... Tom, would you repeat that again? What was that?
Yeah, most of the youth parties in Norway was against the DLD, the Data Storage Directive, to monitor all internet traffic of every citizen. And the youth party that was actually leading this was the Labour Party Youth Party, as I understand it. Going against the grown-up party, in a sense.
Well, I think it's an excellent point, but I think what I see in this man's ideology is way beyond the particular ideology of restriction of data. It really leads into the notion of why he should be the leader of really what would be a new type of people who would be forward. Expressing what I said to you before, you know, the notion of the individual being superior to any ideology or state. And, you know, it echoes in the Ibsen play, The Master Builder, and Knut Hamsun. If you see it in many of the cultural elements in your own history, you see that notion, not of the superiority of the individual, but the superiority of the strength of the individual and the willpower of that individual. I don't think he was as much concerned about what that ideology stood for as much as it was an ideology that he could counteract and impose his own will on it. That's why he liked Kant and why he reinforced. He's very clear about his philosophers, many of whom reify and deify the notion of the strength of the willpower and the will to die. And actually, he very closely mirrors the theories of Trotsky and of Stalin and of Hitler. Interestingly enough, as a side point, Stalin and Trotsky, when they were revolutionaries, and Lenin, were brought into British intelligence in the early 1900s. And, you know, contrary to what the Brits have said, they were there and they were had a discussion with them. So I don't know what influence Britain had on it, but with all my respect, Tommy, I think this has more to do with the confluence of the history and cultural elements of Norway as it's personified in an individual rather than the specific ideology as to whether he was left-wing or non-left-wing. He just wanted to reimpose the notion of multiculturalism didn't work. The white man is suppressed and displaced, and basically the white man has to reaffirm his position in the world by force, and that being politically correct being peaceful and at the UN is no longer success for but the
all right. Well, expanding, Dr. Pretending, holding on for just a moment, expanding, Norway killing prompts crackdown on Brits opposed to immigration. That's Infowars.com. Here's another Infowars.com headline, Steve Watson. Norway killer warns of two more cells preparing attacks. So we're going to see what comes out of this. But at the end of the day, this violence is only going to be used to take more of the general public's liberties. Tommy, thank you for the call from Norway. Please call again. Dean in New York, you're on the air. Any questions or comments?
Hi, Alex. Thanks for taking the call. Seems that the investigative journalist side of you is really trying to, you know, fit this single data point into the overall trend of demonizing the white terrorist. But again, to Mr. Pechenik's point, which is that this person, if I took time, I read his manifesto, not all of it, of course, but I did spend a lot of time reading it, and he is calculated, methodical. He knew exactly what he was doing. Whether he received any support from outside is almost irregardless.
Well, he says he had the support, and my issue is, look at this giant police state we've built, but doesn't keep us safe from terrorists. The answer is more guns to protect ourselves. Keep your hands off my liberties. Dr. Pechenik, comments on what the caller...
Dean is correct. This gentleman hit it right on the head. He is so calculating. He is so purposeful. He is so knowledgeable. Isn't that correct? I mean, this man has been able to assimilate what I studied in propaganda theory, every issue on propaganda, unlike any other person, without getting sloppy about it. And furthermore, he is very clear as to his intention, his cold-bloodedness, and the fact that force will be supreme. It's an old revolutionary concept, but I agree with your listener. He's right on the mark. Absolutely. There's evidence here. Do you agree that this man is insane or crazy?
Dean?
Not insane or crazy. He spent 9 years and approximately €310,000 in a calculated effort to pull this off. He knew exactly what he's doing. He even says in his manifesto that cruelty is important. It's an element of the attack of the individual to show the cultural Marxist, more or less, of who he's fighting against. He's attacking his own people in order to wake them up, okay? And again, it's a logical fallacy.
Dean, it sounds like you support him or you like it.
No, I do not support him, absolutely. It's abhorrent. It's like Pechenik said, he is the most dangerous type of terrorist. He operates on his own, he's cold calculated, and if he was enabled to create a virtual terrorist network, that would make this phony Unabomber, all these phony guys like the FBI, they take these idiots, right, and they put bombs in their pants and they put them on planes.
Yeah, no, drugged out idiots that can't even tie their shoelaces. No, I hear you, Dean. Thank you so much. Let's
the head, and I think your audience is getting it very much. Dean, you're right on the mark. This is far more dangerous than anything I've ever seen, and believe me, I have worked many, many hundreds of terrorist groups and interrogated a lot of terrorists. This man is an individual I would like to question and interrogate and spend time with, because I don't think our intelligence community at this point, quite frankly, is really that capable, or is neither is the Norwegian or the British intelligence, to really understand what he's about. I think Dean had a much better understanding that what's been coming out. Thank you, Dean. I agree with you. Not because it happens to, but you understand it. I think your audience really gets it. This man is far more dangerous than anything you've ever seen before.
Yeah, well, people better keep their hands off my guns and my liberty and my freedom. Bottom line, they're coming after folks that are against the New World Order right now, using this guy, and it stinks to high heaven. And again, I saw the crescendo building up to imminent Whitey attacks on Thursday. And I'm telling you, I see scripting written all over this. Now, they may have known about him, let him do it, protected him. The other cells may be, double agents. We don't know. But this has got a lot of earmarks that make me very suspicious. But it's good to have a debate and look into it. And I do see the points that Dr. Pechenik is making. Brenda in Illinois, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, how are you, Alex? I wanted to ask Dr. Pechenik just what you were bringing up just now, your point about gun grabbing. I live in gun grabbing Illinois, where you can't believe how hard it is. But anyway, I was wondering if he had seen the latest propaganda piece from DHS on Thursday, which you were going over, and if he, you know, sees any of the ties to this coming back to the States anywhere. Maybe not necessarily with this man.
Yeah, the DHS rolling out white al-Qaeda videos and showing the minorities reporting on the white devils. This was released about a week before these new events, and I've gotten the internal training manuals where they're telling every police department the veterans will IED you, the veterans are the terrorists, we've got to prepare mass arrest of the evil pro-America people. I mean, that's my point, is this is going on behind the scenes. You say government's incompetent. They've either competently predicted the real threat or they're staging it. Which is it?
I think Brenda's hit something that's very important. This man will resonate with a lot of disaffected veterans who will come back. There is a real issue now that, unfortunately, the veterans are not being treated at the VA. They have no jobs. They've been displaced from their homes. We've talked about this repeatedly. Our government is not addressing this issue. Instead of worrying about their being targeted as terrorists, the real issue is going to be we have veterans with PTSD, organic brain damage, and we're doing nothing about it. The VA and, unfortunately, General Shinseki has not been competent. I'm unfortunate because I was an admirer of his, but he is not good at running the VA. I have heard too much from other doctors that their veterans were being shortchanged, particularly on these issues.
Okay, but what do you make of them? Let's go ahead.
Repercussions here, but not a systematic repercussion, but it will resonate with groups of white people and others that feel disaffected, that feel unappreciated, and have no jobs. And the reality is, by the way, there are no jobs, and we are disaffected, and the system isn't working. So there is a basis of reality for which he taps in. He, this terrorist, taps into the reality of what's happening in Europe and the United States, because brilliant propaganda is not distorted propaganda. And that's, unfortunately, Alex, where you and I differ. American propaganda with a stand down and a false flag is distorted propaganda in a way it's very amateurish. His is brilliant in that it taps into the very emotional core of the disaffection that
you're saying you've got to tell the truth and connect that to your terrorism if you're going to do it. All right, Brenda, we'll try to cram in a few more for Dr. Pachinik. We'll love to have him back soon on politics. Talking about setting up some type of super Congress, which is martial law, the leaders of both parties, and just say, we'll make the decision. The rest of Congress doesn't vote on this. Obama's talking about using the 14th Amendment against the Congress. And if you go to the Drudge Report, we'll put it up on screen right now. We're going to get this up at Infowars.com. Doing things my own way is very tempting. And that's a quote out of a CNN article of the president. Talking about just doing whatever he wants. And that's the great danger once society starts unraveling because of corruption is to then just give more and more power to the very corrupt institutions. To sum it up, the controllers are accelerating our path, our collision course with collapse. They're not changing course, they're accelerating. Let's jam in a few final calls here for Dr. Steve Pachinik, who I am going to get back up the next week or so, specifically on his views on what I just mentioned, that the Democrats, the Republicans, at the leadership level, they're all a bunch of corrupt scum, and we are in deep trouble. Tanner in Texas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I wanted to go over something that I personally refer to as cyber terrorism, or what I believe to be cyber terrorism. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead, sir. Yeah. You're on air.
Okay, well, there was a report that came on Bloomberg in December on the $3.3 trillion in backdoor bailouts. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, now it's up to $16 trillion.
Okay, yeah. Well, that was set private by somebody. And I'm not saying I know who it was, but I took a video of it. It's up on my YouTube channel, Let's Talk Politics with an X. There's no...
Now, hold on. Set private by who? On Bloomberg?
Yeah.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yes, it was. I didn't upload a version that was legible until the 16th.
Okay, 16th, Tanner.
Yes.
Tanner, let me explain. Is there a specific point here? Yes, go ahead.
Yes, there is. Okay? On the 16th. On the 17th, the view counts were really low. So I went in and I started spamming the second most viewed video. I said, the reason the view counts are so low is because this video, they don't want it going viral. They don't want you to see that they're censoring backdoor bailouts because that's pretty bad, you know? Okay, within an hour and 15 minutes, it went from 60,000 views to 125,000 views so fast that they didn't even catch up the first most viewed. And I proved that it was because of what I did, because somebody left a comment on my video.
I got to let you go at that point. There's all sorts of stuff going on with YouTube, and it's well known that there have been a lot of backdoor bailouts now, $16 trillion to foreign banks and domestic companies like MSNBC, and it's a very serious problem, again, of corruption that Dr. Pechenik brings up. And, you know, the fact that they don't care now that you know that the federal government's funding a lot of national media and that no one gets in trouble for it, or nobody gets in trouble for all the other corruption, it just shows how systemic all this is. Dr. Pechenik?
No, it's absolutely true. I mean, the issue that you and I brought out in June about the corruption, that we predict the corruption of the British government with Murdoch, and Murdoch has been absolutely abysmal. I've tracked him since I was a Deputy Assistant Secretary of State under Bush Sr. in 1991, and I already had questions about his involvement and his corruptions in Asia, and then he moved to the United States and got an American citizenship very quickly and started up buying papers. There's no question in my mind that if anything, if there's any bravery among our congressmen or senators, they should have an investigation, and the FBI should open up an investigation. There's no question in my mind you will find the same kind of corruption, the same kind of collusion you saw in Britain here in the United States, and particularly his assistance of Hillary Clinton, our Secretary of State, when she was running for the Senate. She had depended very heavily on him for advice and money. So I think you have all kinds of corruption going on, both in the Democratic Republican Party. From my point of view, it's no longer legitimate government. I think we're so dysfunctional, the president dysfunctional, the whole system's dysfunctional. We need a third option. And that's where you, Alice, comes in, where we have to discuss about a third option. And your formidable audience understands what the problem's in. It doesn't have to get into social conservatism. It has to get into a party which has to deal with pragmatism. And how do we get the United States to maintain its republic while in the meantime we're an imperial power all over the world and our military is displayed all over the world, but we have no jobs. We have no strategy, no tactics, and no leadership on both sides. You have men who are basically panderers. You have people who are sociopaths. You have women who are screaming about absolutely nothing. And everybody is just talking about nonsense. And we have to get back and get rid of all this corruption and basically restart the government on a pragmatic point of view, building jobs, which we can do very easily, bringing back our foreign companies from overseas, particularly China and India. And if they don't want to come back, then we'll tax them
all
and
right.
Let them go.
Dr. Pechenik, thank you so much for spending time with us. We'll talk to you again very soon. Dr. Webster Griffin Tarpley is coming up. Okay, Breivik's manifesto has been gone over, and I've scanned over it as well. It has the word Jews 324 times in it, in a positive light. So some folks are saying neo-Nazi. I don't really agree with that perspective, because it's not there. In fact, here's the Jerusalem Post. Let me just read this to you. Norway attack suspect had anti-Muslim, pro-Israel views. In the 1,500-page manifesto credited to Breivik, accused of killing spree, lays out a worldview including extreme screed of Islamophobia and far-right Zionism. Anders Breivik, the Norwegian who killed nearly 100 people in a combined terror attack Friday that included car bombings in Oslo and a shooting rampage at an island summer camp, held fiercely anti-Islamic and pro-Israel views, according to a 1,500-page manifesto he uploaded before his killing spree Friday. Continuing, in the 1,500-page tome, which mentions Israel 359 times and Jews 324 times, Breivik lays out his world view, which includes an extremely bizarre and rambling screed of Islamophobic far-right Zionism. Well, yeah, when you hear the term cultural Marxism, I mean, that's right out of the neocons, and venomous attacks on Marxism and multiculturalism. In one passage, he lashes out at Western media, which he accuses of unfairly focusing on the wrongdoing of Jews. Western journalists again and again systematically ignore serious Muslim attacks and rather focus on the Jews, he wrote. Breivik also took a jab at left-wing Jews. Jews that support multiculturalism today are much of a threat to Israel and Zionism as they are to us, he continued. So let us fight together with Israel, with our Zionist brothers, against all anti-Zionist, against all cultural Marxist and multiculturalist. You know, I remember covering Friday and then Sunday, Jaron pointed it out, that this was the anniversary, or no, it was Aaron, that it was, doesn't matter, the point is, that it was the anniversary of the bombing of the King David Hotel by Zionist, left-wing Zionist, or I think it was Rahm Emanuel's dad, wasn't it? Yeah, of the King David Hotel. And that's why Savage, who's Jewish, came out and said, Michael Savage, and said, look, let me tell you, this guy's the son of Irgun. Look for him to stage attacks and blame it on the right wing. And now you've got this guy claiming he's working with friends, and this is very sophisticatedly done. The Israelis put out sophisticated stuff, folks. You know, Pechenik's telling us how unbelievably inept intelligence agencies are, and I respect him on the bin Laden thing being fake and 9/11, and have really found it, you know, historically, he knows what he's talking about. He's a smart guy. I've done a lot of research as well, and I'm not trying to get in a fight with Pechenik. It's just that, and we've got Tarpley in the wings, right? Good. And we may have to go into overdrive today. Obviously, we're going to go into overdrive. The problem is I'm never going to get this TV show launched. But, hey, I'm pulling the trigger. September 1st or thereabouts, I'm launching the nightly TV show. And that's the end of it. Okay, that's the end of it. I did 4 hours for years. I did 3 hours for 14 years. I did 4 hours for 2.5 years or so. And now I've been back to 3 because I've got to focus on this TV show. It'll be just as power-packed as the radio show, but condensed down to 30 minutes. I guess I've just got to really say goodbye to my family. That's the answer to all my problems. I love being with my family. It's the best part of my day, best part of my life, but I cannot complete this mission if I continue to go home at 6, 7 o'clock at night. But I've already seen my first two children grow up and barely spent time with them. And I've actually know the 3-year-old a lot better than the others. And it's like, wow, she's been little a long time. The others, I don't remember them being little. And it's because I'm never home. The last year or so, I've been home more. I don't know, listeners, do I stop doing more? Do I walk away from all this? I mean, maybe you should carry out the fight. Every minute here is torture. I am sick of it. I'm sick of having to study it. I'm sick of having to be in the arena. But if we don't do this, we have no future. All right, I'm going to Webster Tarpley here in just a moment, and obviously we'll have to go into overdrive at least 30 minutes so we can take calls. And again, stations won't carry that. It's on the satellite if stations want it. But it'll be internet and prisonplanet.tv, internet free streams and prisonplanet.tv for that. And I get a headache doing that interview with Pechenik because I like him. I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's a smart guy. I know he's a smart guy. But I'm sorry. I saw the preconditioning up to this. And this is the introduction of Al-Qaeda, then the introduction of white Al-Qaeda, the white terrorist. And I called it, and I believe it's a staged event. Now, this may be a patsy who believes he's this knight. I saw his video as kind of childlike and that this guy's in fantasy land and a high-level functioning delusional psychopath with delusions of grandeur. And, hey, he could become the next Hitler. Maybe Pechenik's right. I mean, I see the beer hall putsch and all that. I get it. But I don't know. We're going to be talking to Tarpley, a doctor of history, and another person I think is very well informed to get a different angle and perspective and then your calls. I want to tell you about last Friday, because we're supposed to announce these every Friday, and then I end up forgetting Friday after Friday to do it, of the eFoods Direct winner in July. Every week they give away $1,700 worth of super high-quality, recently made, non-GMO, non-hybrid, clean, quality food. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to sign up. It's free, and each week you'll get a big winner. They've also got a big deal right now where you get giant discounts. The when you buy a certain amount, then you get some free. Just check it all out at efoodsdirect.com/Alex or link through on their banners at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. Kirk A. from Raleigh, North Carolina is last week's winner. And then we'll have this week's winner hopefully on Friday if I remember to plug it. efoodsdirect.com or 800-409-5633. Also, I want to tell you about Mike Adams. He's got a new 8-hour documentary, and there's all these audio files as well, and he does these live events online, these web seminars, these webars. Mike Adams has put together an incredible multimedia course on food safety and security and teaches you the skills to stay alive and well-fed during any crisis. You'll learn things like how to build your own emergency water filter, how to create your own emergency food go bag, how to store and purify water using iodine. Created by Mike Adams, the health ranger and show expert in food security and frequent guest with us. The entire course is available for instant access with downloadable MP3 files and more at naturalnews.com/Alex, naturalnews.com/Alex. Check it out today. And finally, speaking of water, purewaterfreedom.com, I want to tell you about this great Made in America company. They got portable water bottles under the sink, on top of the counter, whole house filters, all made in the USA. You want to completely remove fluoride and other toxins, they've got it. You want on-the-go systems that reduce it all, and they have those as well. Purewaterfreedom.com. Take control of your water supply today. And again, all of their systems are made in the USA, and that's hard to do nowadays. It's hard to find stuff made in the USA. Purewaterfreedom.com. Take control of your water supply. Purewaterfreedom.com. And we also couldn't do this show without the support of our sponsors. Okay, if you just joined us, the Jerusalem Post says he was a rabid right-wing Zionist. And he used the terms that right-wing neocons and Zionists use on radio in the U.S. It's just a fact. I don't know if he wrote this manifesto. The Easter Bunny could have done it. It's admitted that his Facebook was manipulated. It was in the Google Wayback Machine saved. And we were able to track that. Other big news reports are confirming that someone went in and changed it from Knights Templar Illuminati member, Mason, to Christian conservative. This is a rebranding, clearly, regardless of whether it's real or not, from the Muslim threat, we're taking your rights away because of it, to everybody's a terrorist. And I told you this was coming last week. We had drills the days before, blowing up things less than a kilometer away. We have the police showing up, knowing the gunman's name, and saying, hands up. They show up 90 minutes later, and then they don't take him out. They just say, hey, lay your gun down, Breivik, and Anders Breivik. And he comes out and does that. He's going to serve 21 years maximum, and he's going to be this big Hitlerian hero when he gets out, I guess. And I compare it to that because Hitler did the same thing with his beer hall attack on the parliament, and then he got put in jail for a year and a half and wrote Mein Kampf. That was all staged. So this is definitely nasty. They want to have a new clash of civilizations, and this has got that written all over it. And the fact that he's fawning around with the kill all the Muslims, oh, I love Israel stuff, or that could be a complex frame-up of that. I mean, again, you can't believe the Facebook. You can't believe the web stuff. We don't know any of this, and they wouldn't let him be seen in court. They wouldn't let him be seen in court. They wouldn't let him speak in front of the camera. So we don't know if he's even saying these things he said. To me, he looks highly intelligent, but he also, with that little smirk, looks like he's flown over the cuckoo's nest. Obsessive compulsive, basically. Webster Tarpley, doctor of history, frequent guest here and contributor, Tarpley.net. My friend, what do you think's really going on here? We just had Dr. Steve Pachenik on, his illustrious career in black ops himself. You know, the Jack Ryan character in the Tom Clancy Patriot Games novels, co-author with him. He's saying this is the pristine real terrorism, the equivalent of the gilded unicorn, never known before. He admits most terrorists state sponsored. He says this is not synthetic. What says Webster Griffin Tarpley?
Well, I have to say, in regard to your previous guest, when Morrow was being held by the Red Brigades, I was part of the effort to try to find Morrow and to save his life, and I guess your previous guest was on the other side of that. So I have to disagree with him again. What we've got here with Breivik is a patsy on steroids. This is either a psychotic or a fanatic or a double agent or a mercenary or something like this. He is entirely a creature of NATO intelligence, and this entire event is inconceivable without sponsorship by NATO intelligence. First of all, concerning the ideological profile of the patsy, I mean, one of the main rules in an analysis, as you've shown over the years, is that we don't want to focus too much on the patsy that is being projected through the world media. We want to look for the technicians and the moles that they don't want you to see, because the whole thing is designed to get you to fix it.
Yeah, he's all flashy, and the Photoshop glamour shots, the videos, the treatises, it's all a big fat ball of bacon on the end of a hook trying to catch a crawdad.
Right, it's like a public relations firm has gone to work for him. He's got publicity photos. It's like a press kit that people have been given for this character. Now, just interesting, in this 1,500-page screed of his, and maybe you can also comment on this, as I understand it from the London Daily Telegraph, a lot of that is simply plagiarized, lifted word for word from the Unabomber Manifesto. And that already is a contradiction, because...
No. They admit about 95% of it is plagiarized and unattributed, which is what intelligence agencies just recently constantly get caught recycling garbage.
I guess the CIA or NATO intelligence budget didn't allow them to go out and hire some new hack writers. But again, enough of him. Let's look for the moles and let's look for the technicians. Maybe we start with the technicians. According to this interesting Oslo newspaper, VG, and I've been getting some reports on from some very fine people in Norway, VG reports eyewitnesses. There are at least two eyewitnesses that they name and other eyewitnesses unnamed at this youth camp on the island who state emphatically, categorically, there is a second shooter. And they even give you a description. He's 1 meter, 80 centimeters tall, dark hair, Nordic features, whatever that means. I guess it means something in their parlance.
Lantern jaw. Just keep going here. Yeah.
This looks like the person who actually carried out the shooting, because we've seen this again and again, right? With Major Hassan at Fort Hood, they were one to
drills,
two
drills, other shooters, Columbine, 7-7.
Sirhan, with Cho, Virginia Tech. There was a second shooter there. Now, the police response to this, as I understand it, is to say there may be somebody else. This is an ongoing investigation, but... if you talk about a second shooter, then you're spreading fear. Now, that's obviously they want to suppress this. So I think this is important. Don't let them write this out of the media narrative, because it did get into CNN and CBS Radio News and France 24, and the world media have somehow registered that there was...
No, just like John Doe number 2 did, and then the FBI agent came out and told the LA Times, I've seen the tapes that we've confiscated under national security. It shows McVeigh with a whole bunch of people, including John Doe number 2, And we had eyewitnesses from inside the building that saw McVeigh a day before with the very same men inside doing telephone company work with gray sticks of butter. I mean, it's always the same. Of course this guy didn't act alone. And they know the public's going to wake up to that. So now he says there's other cells. They're about to strike any minute, Webster. Go ahead.
But before we get to this, one of the techniques is then if the police realize that there are these persistent reports of a second shooter with plenty of eyewitnesses and even a description in this case, which is remarkable, they go out and arrest somebody and then say, oh, no, that was the guy, but it turns out that he's not involved. At 1 p.m. on Friday, a man with a knife was arrested and then released. There have been, as I understand it, raids in a number of countries. There's even a guy in Poland. According to my reports, there's a guy in Poland who is still being held under suspicion. He at least has been arrested in Poland as a possible accomplice. So this is the thing to look at, because we have to assume that this other figure is the second shooter, the technician. In other words, the person who really has the weaponry. He's described as somebody with an automatic rifle and a revolver or a handgun. And we have to assume that it's going to be very difficult to kill 75 or 80 people on an island if you're just one person. That poses just intrinsic problems, barriers that it's going to be very hard for anybody to go through. So this is, I think, the first thing. The second thing is the presence of moles. Now, the moles would be people inside the state apparatus, inside the police, the justice ministry, whatever it is, who protect the patsy.
And we know this came out a year ago, that the CIA had penetrated their state police, national police, and the Oslo police, and were recruiting them to fight terror, including retired police. Right. That's the perfect network for this.
Right. This is, of course, as you say, the CMAS, Security Institute. Simant Management Analysis System, SIMAS. That's the network. That's the U.S. government. And the cells that they set up cells too. These are called Surveillance Detection Units, SDUs. So an Oslo television station in November of 2010 reports the U.S. government is avidly recruiting former policemen, retired policemen, including the former head of the Oslo anti-terror police, to take part in these surveillance detection units of the security incident.
Webster, this couldn't be any clearer. I mean, Norway's not toeing the line for the New World Order police state. And so they get a right-wing attack in there, and now they get to use it all over the world. You've got the Financial Times of London saying that this attack personifies the rise of the new right. In fact, let me read the exact headline. And then, meanwhile, that's the name of the Rise of the New Right show on MSNBC, implying that I'm calling for violence by editing my words out of context. I mean, this is really a setup, Webster.
This is all completely absurd, because everybody should realize every word out of this guy's mouth, every word on his idiotic manifesto, this is coming from NATO headquarters, Brussels. Look at it that way. Or Langley, Virginia. Or Wilton.
Whereas NATO was staging Operation Gladio stuff against leftists and people in the 70s and 80s, now it's against the populist who aren't going to go along with the New World Order takeover. Webster Tarpley, stay there. We're going to come back. We're going into overdrive today. It'll be PrisonPlanet.tv and InfoWars only. When the main radio show ends in 10 minutes, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
All right, I want to continue looking at this bombing and shooting. And people are like, hey, it's Norway. Why do we care? Ladies and gentlemen, they are all over the news. Every major TV station, every major network in Europe, the United States, England, saying they are going to start putting conservatives on no-fly list with no judge, no jury. They're going to start tracking everybody. They're going to start demonizing. They're going to start tracking gun purchases outside of law. The ATF already started that. I saw all the pre-scripting to change the war on terror away from only hyperventilating about Muslims underneath the table trying to bite you to the white people, the conservatives, the libertarians. They are the devil. If somebody's Hispanic and a libertarian, look out, or black and into freedom, look out. This is basically about the system going after everybody. The left are terrorists. The Muslims are terrorists. The right wing are terrorists. Everybody's a terrorist but the ruling class. And you look at all of these things as Facebook being changed and Christian and conservative being added. I mean, I disagree with Dr. Pachinik. I mean, I can see from his perspective that, you know, he thinks this is real. But I don't see evidence of that. And I wish that was the truth, because that's not as scary as knowing the system did this. Now, Webster, we have their own media saying, look, for some reason, NATO and the U.S. are infiltrating us. We have a history of over 200 bombings in Gladio. For those that don't know, tell folks what Gladio is and NATO stay behind networks. This group's trying to pull out of NATO operations. I mean, this is really pretty obvious here.
I think it's quite obvious. Let me just say, concerning the police, moles in the police, before we move on to your question, the moles in the police, I think, are indicated by the fact that it takes 90 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, an hour and a half for the police to get to the island. Why were there no helicopters available in Oslo to transport a SWAT team, the Delta Force, or whatever they have, from downtown Oslo or wherever their base is, to this island with the youth camp? Why did they have to go by car, essentially? Why no helicopters? And why, when they get there, did they load all their equipment into a boat and then have the boat begin to sink? You could say this is the Keystone Cops. This is a comedy of errors. But I don't think so. It reminds me again of the Paris police leaving Princess Diana in this car for the best part of an hour after that accident. It's a level of incompetence that simply cannot be believed. So it takes them an hour and a half to get to the island. And then when they get there, they know the guy's name and they call him by name. Now, this indicates a profound subversion of the Norwegian police. I would point out, this is a monarchy. And in monarchies, it's easier in many, many cases to subvert the government institutions than it is in something that's not a monarchy. So I think that also plays into it. So I think we've got a patsy. He's being built up. He's a media star. We've got a technician, at least one technician in the background. That would be the second shooter. And we've got pretty obvious moles in the police. We even have a name for their network. That would be this SIMAS. Now, you say Gladio. The question for me is this Security Incident Management Analysis System the new Gladio? The old Gladio was that when General Lyman Lemnitzer, after having made that Operation Northwoods proposal to Kennedy and getting turned down, Lemnitzer then went on to become the commander of NATO in Brussels, and he began to set up what were called stay-behind operations. They already existed, but he put them on a new active footing. Now, these existed in all countries. The Italian case is best documented, but there are pretty good indications in other countries. So the Gladio is a series of arms caches with guerrilla fighters organized around them. The idea is that they'll wage guerrilla warfare against the Soviet Red Army if the Soviets roll over.
But instead they go stage terror attacks and blame it on their political enemies in false flags. Webster, we got to go to break. Main radio show's over. Going into expanded overdrive at prisonplanet.tv right now. Okay, we are now into hour number four, Overdrive, at prisonplanet.tv and the free audio internet streams only at infowars.com. This will, of course, be archived at prisonplanet.tv and then reposted up to the Alex Jones channel on YouTube while that channel still exists. YouTube is openly trying to shut it down as we speak and claim that criticizing Obama in any way is now considered racism, and tried to shut the channel down last month until we filed and challenged that. So we're more and more being forced to move completely to prisonplanet.tv. Okay, in other news, we've got Paul Watson joining us in a few minutes with Webster Tarpley. I want to jam in a few of your calls. They're using this whole fracas over the debt limit, because if we don't raise the debt limit, it's catastrophe. If we do raise it, it's rack and ruin, as Ron Paul has said, because they're not going to put in the reforms that fix things. They're going to continue to give everything to the foreign banks, continue to strip Social Security and everything else. While they raise taxes, it all goes to the foreign banks. And so we'll go bankrupt completely that way. And then if they don't do the debt ceiling, then there'll be a huge default. The treasuries will be killed, and it's another disaster. So it's just absolutely horrible. But there's an article out of the Huffington Post, Super Congress Debt Ceiling Negotiations Aim to Create New Legislative Body. And they go on to say it's not in the Constitution, but that the group will be given extraordinary powers by the president and by Speaker Boehner, McConnell, and, of course, Reid. The Super Congress, composed of members of the both chambers and parties, isn't mentioned anywhere in the Constitution, but will be granted extraordinary new powers under a plan put forth by Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and his counterpart, Majority Leader Harry Reid. Surprise, surprise, they want a power grab. And I got to say, Tarpley, we're going to come back after the break with Watson and yourself and recap this false flag in Europe and why it's important, and your evidence that, you know, of what Gladio was, and this is a continuation of that, because I want you to define it. I don't want to get in a fight with you, but I heard your show Saturday, or part of it, when I was in the car listening to local radio, and you know, I heard you saying, let's use the 14th Amendment. Well, that was an interpretation by Ulysses S. Grant during Reconstruction. And is the president saying that this isn't even against the states? This is the president with the Congress. And you're saying, well, if they won't raise the debt ceiling, well, they're calling for cuts. So regardless if you agree with those cuts or not, under the Constitution, it is the Congress's right to control the issuance of currency, credit, and monetary policy. And so I disagree with you that the president can engage in dictatorial activity.
Well, I think you have to realize that a default by the United States is a catastrophic event. It is a worldwide economic and financial cataclysm, and that part is not made up. It is real. We are in a real world economic depression with real dangers of the most serious kind. You can see that once, if the United States were to default on payment on these treasury bonds, this is simply the bedrock of the entire world financial system. Every place in the world depends on these, whether directly or indirectly.
No, I know. But they're maneuvering us towards that by design. They're just getting us deeper in debt before they do it. We're dead already.
Well, possible, but I think that's it's a stretch to analyze these conflicts. These are real conflicts about real economic survival. And I think it's wrong to say that the default is not a cataclysmic event. It will simply devalue all the existing central bank reserves of the world that are held in dollars, which still remains the overwhelming majority. That will cause a worldwide panic. It'll bring down all of these central banks. Now, you could say, well, we don't like central banks anyway. The problem is nobody's ready to with an alternative. I have an alternative, a five-point program at the top of my website.
I know about your plan.
Mass movement around those five points, and we don't have it. So therefore, we're left with total chaos. I would say let's avoid the chaos. We need more time to organize.
Webster, I wish they were listening. We got to go to break. I wish they were listening to you, but the point is they're not. So.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
You know, there's a lot of other news we haven't even gotten into today that's up on InfoWars.com. Bank finance drug gang plans to overthrow Mexican government next year. Well, that's been what the whole six-year staged war's been about, according to our sources like Selig Castile. So we're going to be going over that, obviously, a lot more tomorrow. But I've spent a lot of time on this shooter. We're going to go to a few of your calls coming up here in a few minutes. I spent a lot of time on this because I saw the branding. I saw the pre-hype, just like I saw it before 9/11. You'd have to be blind. They get you ready for this. They prep it. It's all done at a fifth-grade level. And they are trying to foment a clash of Western and Eastern civilization, Islam and Christendom. Regardless of what you think about those two sides, this is what's going on. This is the stated PNAC and Israeli plan. And even the Jerusalem Post admits that there is a major connection here. This guy was a very pro-Zionist guy. And so some of our media is trying to claim Nazi and things like this and calling him a neo-Nazi. There's zero evidence of that. Also, there's not a lot of evidence that he was a, quote, right-winger. You know, they're calling him a right-wing Zionist, but he was, you know, for gays and things like that. It just sounds like a cutout where they can put whatever label they want on anybody ahead of all these new wars and things they're trying to do. Who does this serve, Webster? And we're going to Paul Watson with you, joining us via video Skype. I mean, we know that the CIA was infiltrating their police a year ago. That's confirmed. We know there were drills. We know there was a second shooter with multiple witnesses saying dark hair, Nordic features, shooting people. The cops don't want to talk about that, though it's even on CNN. We've got this ledger that he obviously didn't write. We've got his Facebook being changed after he was arrested to say conservative and Christian. I mean, this really looks like a way to get the left behind the war on terror, the left behind the police state, because people aren't going along with the Muslim fear-mongering anymore, Webster.
Well, I think, again, we have to realize that his entire ideological profile is a complete fake. In other words, it's a crazy quilt of contradictory elements thrown together and probably changing, right? Changing from day to day according to the needs of demagogy, manipulation, and so forth. All of these things are designed to play on people's psychological weaknesses. Hatreds, resentments, envies, class fear, religious fear, sexual fear, God knows what else goes into this.
Get us fighting with each other so we don't fight with the establishment. What about the pro-Palestinian rally there the day before? What about the fact that in this manifesto, he, you know, loves what Israel's doing? But again, we don't even know if he really wrote this.
Well, again, I would assume that he didn't, right? That some of this is lifted from the Unabomber and some of this is some little gray bureaucrat there in NATO, in Brussels and Mons, right? M-O-N-S.
No, I know, but why would the establishment then
finger Israel? Precisely, because this is an issue with Norway. Norway is traditionally a pro-Arab country in NATO. It's an exception to the rule. It was Norway, after all, that sponsored the Oslo peace talks, right, between Rabin of the Israelis and Arafat of the Palestinians. That was in 1994. That led to the signing of the Oslo Accords on the White House lawn with Clinton and Arafat and Rabin. Now, that caused, of course, a backlash in the reactionary Israeli circles leading to the killing of Rabin. But this is the traditional policy that they have. Now, as we're heading towards the United Nations General Assembly in September, there's going to be a resolution to actually create a Palestinian state through the UN General Assembly in the same way that Israel was created by the General Assembly, not by the Security Council, back in 1948. And the Norwegians have announced that they will vote for that, and they will also recognize that government when it exists. So this obviously opens up a conflict not just with the Israelis, but also with Hillary Clinton, the State Department, and the U.S. in general, but also maybe with the NATO people and the Brussels Commission. However, I think the thing that's new, because this what we've seen so far is traditional, although it's important, the thing that's new that is very concrete is that Norway had been providing 10% of the bombing effort over Libya with 6 planes, and now, as we move towards August 1st, those 6 planes will be pulled out. They're already down to 4.
And you talked about this last night. It's a political message to the ruling class. We can kill you whenever we want with patsies that will then take the fall. Webster, I want to bring
it's a message, let me just add, it's a message to the Netherlands, to Italy, to Canada, to Germany, to all sorts of people. Watch out. We, this clique in the CIA and NATO and MI6, we want to continue bombing Libya. Don't you dare sabotage our effort.
Absolutely. Now I want to go to Paul Watson and then to calls with you riding shotgun, Webster. But finishing up, at the end of the last hour, you got cut off by the break. You were saying that L.L. Lemnitzer, the Northwoods mastermind, gets basically, you know, kicked out by Kennedy. He goes after Kennedy's killed to be the head of NATO. And it's on record in what German and Italian investigations, their parliament has had their former intelligence chief and former president come out and admit it, that they set up these stay-behind armed networks of the Soviets were to ever overrun Europe, that there are already secret cells with weapons to wage a Wolverine, Red Dawn insurgency operation against the invasion. Now, what they then did was every time a political party got a little uppity, left wing, right wing, didn't matter, communist, whatever, got too uppity and the system didn't like them, they would just blow up a school bus, blow up a train, and blame it on their political enemies. That's been confirmed. So any final comments on the parallels here to Gladio?
Well, the Gladio, of course, you can look this up in Daniele Ganzer's book, NATO's Secret Armies. I mean, there are lots of sort of mainstream academic works that go into this, at least to some extent. What happened was that the people who were recruited as the staff, the guerrilla fighters that were organized around these large deposits of weapons, explosives, and other such tools, these were largely fascists. A lot of them were old Nazis, old fascists, and so forth. And they then, with NATO intelligence backing them up, began to carry out terrorism by about the middle of the 1960s, and then increasingly in the years after that. And this then became a kind of infrastructure of NATO-sponsored terrorism. And there's never been an accounting for this. So if you look at this guy, Breivik, with his crazy syncretic ideology, this could be somebody in that tradition.
Well, he fits it 100%. You got NATO infiltrating the police the year before and the media freaking out. And I mean, if you go back here, Webster, this fits in just absolutely. Precisely, even Kurt Nimmo, the week before last, wrote an article saying, you know, will NATO, I forget the exact headline, let's pull it up for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. I think it was, will NATO play the Gladio card? That was the headline. Kurt Nimmo even saw it coming.
Good. And in effect, they did. Remember, the 22nd or 23rd of June, at the opening of the Women's World Soccer Championship. Hello?
Yes, well,
I'm sorry, we just had a thunderclap here. At the Women's World Soccer Championship, there was a German attorney by the name of Geest, G-E-E-S-T.
And she was worried about a stage terror. That was the month before.
The possibility of nuclear terrorism. So it didn't happen in Germany. Then it happened just about exactly 1 month later in Oslo. So we were all on high alert for this, and now it comes along. And to say this is the unicorn or this is authentic, I think that's just absurd.
All right. Let's bring Paul Watson up with Webster briefly, and then with any new research points or data he has. Let's bring Paul Watson up via video connection from the United Kingdom and then go to a few phone calls. Paul, I think where Webster's going with this report last November about NATO and CIA infiltrating the police department in Oslo and recruiting former police, the drills. I mean, clearly, this is an Operation Gladio kickstart. They've reignited this. It's very clear. And you've got the whole Israeli connection into this, attacking this Palestinian youth camp, similar to the Zionists that went to the Dome of the Rock, what, a decade ago and shot, you know, close to 100 people. We've got to look in that area. But then at the same time, and there's Kurt's article from a week and a half ago, will NATO resurrect Operation Gladio to frame Gaddafi? Well, no, it's to frame the right wing. Paul, what's your view on all this from your research?
Well, it seems that at the bare minimum, Alex, they knew about this guy. They'd tracked him before. Norwegian MI5 had massacre suspect on list, and it turns out that back in March, he had been included in a intelligence database because he bought an amount of chemicals off a Polish individual on the internet. And so straight after that, they put him in the database as a potential terrorist. And then, of course, we had the report from Channel 4 News, which came out on Friday, where before the police even confronted him, they knew his name. They shouted his name out as soon as they got to the island, even though it took them 90 minutes to get there. And as soon as they shouted his name out, he dropped his weapons and came quietly. So all this stuff about the incompetence of the Norwegian police doesn't quite jive with the fact that they knew his identity beforehand. They had him in this database for the past 7 months. And some new research, which is just now coming to the fore, is the fact that in 2006, obviously according to his manifesto, you know, he's been planning this for years, and his financial records actually appear on the internet, as Norwegian citizens do for the past, well, the most recent year is 2009. And in 2006, he goes from basically having not even $100 in his bank account to 2007, where he's got 631,000 kroner, which amounts to about $116,000, in his bank account. So, you know, how did he get that money? Who gave him that money? Where did he get it from? And from then on, he starts to spend the money. He starts to plan this operation. And we know that they had him in the database since at least March.
Well, he may just be a person who believes he's doing a good thing and is unstable, but a high-level functioning psychopath, I guess what you call a moral psychopath, if such a thing exists. The point is that then they handle him, they provocateur him like McVeigh to play a limited role, and then all their people are pulled out and protected following the classic paradigm that they've perfected with these false flag patsy setups. And then now he's more than happy as an egomaniac to take all the credit and to say, don't worry, my other cells are about to attack. And indeed they are, because it's NATO running the Norwegian police with British intelligence clearly involved. He's in England getting his walking orders with a group of people that call themselves the Knights Templar. I know there's a group that does indeed meet and promote this. We even saw that in that Sky television show that demonized yours truly, Paul Watson.
Well, yeah, of course, we know somebody else who started obsessing and talking about the Knights Templar and the Freemasons, and that was, of course, Mr. Shaler, the former MI5 agent who suddenly started dressing like a woman and calling himself Jesus. And then you also have this individual in Norway, Breivik, who was tied into the English Defence League. He went and visited them in 2002. And that the English Defence League basically is played off against militant Muslims in Britain routinely to foster this clash of civilizations. And it's a pathetic group made up of former drunk football hooligans, completely infiltrated by MI5, just as the neo-Nazis are also infiltrated by MI5.
Not infiltrated. It's come out in Germany and England that the Nazi groups are founded and run by the government.
But, I mean, this EDL is so pathetic that they splash it all over the newspapers every time they want to get us at each other's throats. So here's Breivik going to visit them in 2002. In 2007, he suddenly finds $116,000 in his account. He's later put on a terrorism database, and the police know his name before they even get to the island.
And now we're hearing that domestic groups all over the world, from England to the U.S. to the continent of Europe, have to be watched. If you're talking about globalism or open borders, you're bad now. I mean, this is perfect branding. And, Paul, did we not call it with the crescendo of white al-Qaeda leading up to this? I mean, what do you think about what Pechenik was saying earlier, that he thinks this is real?
Well, it could be real in the sense that this individual thought he was doing what he was doing for his own cause, which is outlined. But, I mean, that's exactly what Timothy McVeigh thought. But it turned out that he was a complete patsy, you know. There were more individuals involved in the plot. Then Nichols came out later and said, yeah, we were provocateured by the government. So we've got exactly the same indicators in this. And like you just said, this is Christian Science Monitor. Norway massacre likely to ramp up monitoring of right-wing groups. And it says, the sudden appearance of a murderous and crusading figure who sees himself as a martyr for Judeo-Christian European civilization is expected to ramp up surveillance by intelligence agencies of a far-right culture that has grown and flourished in the greenhouse of the internet.
Well, here's another one. It's all the internet allowed this, him to be radicalized, so we've got to censor the web, right as YouTube adds its report. This promotes terrorism link. Here it is. Killer personifies rise of the new right. Financial Times of London. Chris Matthews TV show, demonizing myself and Ron Paul. Rise of the new right. So the left, the Muslims, they're all terrorists. Speak of the devil, there's Chris Matthews race baiting right there behind me. You don't like government health care, you're a racist. I mean, you can really see that this is engineered. And continuing here. Webster Tarpley, this is scary. I don't know if you're aware of it, but we completely predicted Thursday that a staged terror attack to be blamed on the right was imminent. Again, why would the social engineers want to do this?
Well, again, I would just say this character, Breivik, this is from Central Casting. In other words, this is some kind of a Nordic hero for people who want to take this stuff seriously. It is artificial, fake, hoaxed up. From beginning to end, I don't see anything authentic in this person. You know, this could be an example of Clockwork Orange brainwashing. We just don't know what these capabilities are. The point of it is, at the level of the elites, it basically says, when the orders come down from the U.S. and the British, from NATO intelligence, you obey. Otherwise, you're going to have your office bombed, and you're going to have this camp. We have to figure that some of the children of high officials in the government were attending that camp. In other words, this could not be more political, focused on the policy.
It's a message. You do what we say or your kids are dead.
Absolutely. And we know your schedule. We know where your children are. So it's completely political. In other words, it's got everything to do, and not so, I don't think much at all to do with this internal stuff about the assimilation of Muslims and these issues. It's got to do with the foreign policy, a pro-Arab foreign policy in general, friendly to the Palestinians, but most immediately that the example of Norway is leading to the collapse of the NATO attack coalition on Libya, and that would be a debacle. You can see...
But it has the double goody, though, because the systems that run this country and Europe also do want to go after nationalists.
Yes, and that's a built-in thing. And when, for example, we find that this patsy, the psychotic patsy, writes about, should I use weapons of mass destruction? References like that can be used then by lobbyists.
And he dresses up in WMD outfits to help further the fear. All of it 100% scripted for maximum effect. And he admits, I'm not acting alone. I'm part of a knighthood. They just got this easily controlled person in there who thinks he's doing a great job. I'm sure, well, like McVeigh, they told him, this is U.S. Army. We're going to do this to, you know, fight the corruption in government. Go carry out the attack. And then later he found out he was set up. They said, we'll kill your family if you don't go along with this. That's come out even in government documents. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how. And I'm going to have him back up, maybe the two of you together. I mean, you know, Pachinik comes out and says the Bin Laden thing's fake. Clearly it is. 9/11's fake. You know, he does a lot of things like that. And then y'all, and Pachinik, I need to get him back on because he never wants to talk about it. The London Telegraph and reportedly the event with the Red Brigades grabbing the Italian president. And Pachinik says he put out the report, according to the Telegraph, that they'd already killed him. So then they did kill him. I mean, I've got to get his views on this.
We just add one other thing. Based on what I've heard from his appearances on your program, he seems to be saying civilians are bad, military is good. And in the world of the military, General Petraeus is really, really good. Petraeus, obviously, a favorite presidential candidate of the neocons, in the wings, right, a stealth candidate, uniting the Pentagon now and the CIA. That would be Bonapartism with a vengeance. In other words, a man on horseback, not mucking around in the primaries and not caring about the Iowa straw poll, but riding in on a horse in an atmosphere of breakdown and chaos, as we now seem to have it. I think that is probably the most dangerous alternative for the United States. I don't want to hear people talking about Petraeus for president or Petraeus is the man we can trust.
I don't want to get into a Pachinik bashing festival. What we'll do is, how about I invite him to come on and give his political views, and in the second half, come in and have you ask questions if he'll do it.
Well, I guess if you want to try it, sure, why not?
I think it'd be a nice debate. Yeah, but why would you have a neocon come out? I don't think he's a neocon, far from it, and talk about 9/11 being an inside job 9.5 years ago. It's not like, you know, he just did this.
No, I'm simply saying that Petraeus, people haven't maybe noticed it, but Petraeus is the gathering point of most neocons, although some of them are looking elsewhere.
All right, let me do this, Webster. I promise, but I got to go on RT at 3, so we got to get out of here soon so we can set up the video Skype. I promise to go to callers, so we're just going to do part of the next segment and finish with these callers. Watson, we got a minute before we go to break, and we're going to come back and take 4 or 5 calls with Tarpley and you here. Just very quick questions or comments, but any other little caveats or tidbits as we go out to break?
Well, it's the fact that he went and targeted mainly, predominantly young white Norwegians, I don't think that's something that can explain with these convoluted mental gymnastics. Why didn't he just go and blow up a mosque? There's one in the center of Oslo. If he's an anti-Muslim extremist, why kill young white people? Just doesn't make sense to me.
If I may also add, he's a composite figure, as I understand. He's private, but he's got a blog apparently under the name Fjord Man. Some people think that's him. And he's known as Andrew Berwick when he puts his screed up on the internet. So, a composite figure.
He fits every one of the MOs. My gut tells me it's never wrong. This is as phony as a $3 bill. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
On the march, the Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Alex Jones here with vital information concerning our nation's fragile food supply. Folks, there are some truly dangerous trends forming, and I think it's important for my listeners to do 3 things right away. Number 1, study the past. History really does repeat itself. Number 2, learn to spot the dangerous food shortage trends. Number 3, take decisive action. A perfect storm is brewing, or a global food crisis. That's why I'm telling everyone to read the new book, Rising Prices, Empty Shelves. Warning signs that trigger the deadliest famines in history. Don't get caught unprepared when the crisis hits. This book is only available at risingprices.emptyshelves.com. You'll also get a free copy of Supermarket Survival, How to Cut Your Grocery Bills in Half. Again, that website is risingprices.emptyshelves.com. That's risingprices.emptyshelves.com.
You've been lied to. Lied to by the Wall Street propaganda machine, the government, and the talking heads in the media. The market is in for another crash. Real estate is already in a double-dip recession, and if you want to keep your hard-earned money safe, this message is for you. My name is Brett Kitchen, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed, I said enough is enough. I searched and discovered a way to safely grow my money, participate in potential double-digit gains, but also have my money protected when the crashes come. Plus, it could save you thousands in taxes. I want you to get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney used to safely grow their wealth. Call 1-800-675-1640 right now to get your free copy. Again, that's 1-800-675-1640. I'm giving away a limited number of copies today, so call 1-800-675-1640.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Dropped the ball today. I was supposed to call Jesse Ventura this morning because he was ready to talk about his federal court case from Friday to get him set up for the show today or tomorrow, and I didn't call him. So as soon as the show ends here in a moment, even before I do RT, I'm telling my crew to remind me to call Ventura. But he's about to leave town again, so I don't know if he'll be on tomorrow now because I didn't call him. Also, we're going to get Jim Mars on this week to talk about this whole Knights Templar connection. It's still operating in England. We're also going to get Alan Watt, a lot of other folks on to break down, because this terror attack is like Oklahoma City, signifies a shift in the war on terror, a shift in geopolitical actions. They're going to still kill the Muslims, invade them, all that, but now the police state they've set up and sold the public that was just going to be for Muslims is going to be shifted on to the general public. So we've got Paul Watson there riding shotgun with us. Webster Griffin Tarpley, always a great asset. Incredible historical understanding and depth and breadth. He's no hat and all cattle, as we say here in Texas, where a lot of folks are all hat and no cattle. Again, I'm Alex Jones of InfoWars.com. Thank you for joining us. Let's go to Renee in South Carolina. Questions or comments for Paul Watson, myself, or Webster Tarpley?
Yes, I wanted to just say what an honor and a privilege it is to speak with both of you. Thank you for taking my call. Webster kind of stole my thunder. I was wondering myself, you know, what makes people think that this guy even wrote this manifesto? That's what was on my mind.
Well, I mean, they made all the fake WMD documents. All the time the Associated Press says, Al-Qaeda says they did this or did that, and they'll say at the bottom of the article, from a unconfirmed forum. Well, you can go on forums and read that I am an 18-trillion-year-old reptoid lizard from Pop-Tart who drinks blood. And actually, they're on to me. It's true. But, you know, the point is that, you know, how do you prove that? Webster, are you a reptoid?
We have some reports that Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, is going to go after Breivik with a civil suit for plagiarism for violating his copyright on the Unabomber manifesto.
Webster, are you on to me that I'm a reptoid Vatican assassin?
The word is out.
No, it's like Alex Jones, CIA. There's the proof. No, but seriously, I mean, they can't even confirm this is his manifesto. So it's not that I'm defending Israel here, you know, that this guy, you know, isn't a Zionist. The point is, how do we know any of it's true?
You know, most of it is not true. In other words, most of it is invented out of whole cloth or as close to that as it's physically possible to get. And it will change. And what I'm waiting for is we always have these cases, right? Oswald, of course, was a devoted communist, except he was working for the CIA Operations Directorate and the U.S. Customs and God knows what. And when they sent him to the Soviets and then they tried to get him into Cuba, they wanted to sheep dip him to try to be able to pin what he would later do on the Soviets. And that's a process that took quite a while, right? That took some years to get that ready. Atta was, of course, a pious Muslim, but in fact, he was getting to his. He would go to the discotheque. He would drink all kinds of.
Yeah, but that's
vodka,
not the. He had a hooker girlfriend. But that's not the, I mean, the. The proof is Atta was allowed into the U.S. under his visa that he was really working for the CIA. He was working at U.S. military bases.
Exactly.
Their houses were paid.
He was going home. He thought he was going to be an actor in a drill, and then he'd be back in the discotheque in the evening.
But he found out that wasn't the case. Renee, thank you so much for the comments. Aaron in Nevada, you're on the air with Watson and Tarpley.
Jay, thank you. GoNob.com here. I've been on this subject from when you were talking about the bioweapons, and I've been covering it up on my website. I have a post. It has two teenage boys from the island with a Boycott Israel banner holding it up. It's like a six-foot long banner. And I want to read from my post. The Palestinians must have their own state. The occupation must end. The wall must be demolished. And it must happen now, said the foreign minister to cheers from the audience. The foreign minister, Jonas Gahr-Stor. So that's what this is all really about. This is Zionism, and that Pashenik discredited himself. That was the biggest piece of CIA disinfo. Once CIA, always CIA, and if he was really anti-CIA, he would have had an accident by now. All right, that's all I have to say on that. And I like to say, overall, though, Alex, I agree with you on the knock-on effect, taking the rights away and everything, justifying it by this. But please know, this is all about Zionism, Jewish supremacy, Rothschild banking cartel. That's the nexus of this thing, in my opinion.
All right, Aaron, and I appreciate your call. We've got to move on to the other callers.
Alex, let me just say, that is relevant up to a point, but the question is, why now? In other words, the pro-Palestinian, pro-Arab orientation of the Norwegian government goes back to 93-94. Now, we are approaching this vote, right? There is a certain, you know, point of inflection coming up. It seems to me, though, the big issue is the Libyan bombing coalition. Because this is
why would Israel, though, carry this out and then tattle on themselves in the manifesto?
Because I think it's NATO intelligence. In other words, I think that the Israeli concerns are subsumed into the policies of what NATO intelligence is doing. And I think we pretty well identified a network in the Norwegian police, which is basically set up by the U.S. And again, if it's 10% of the bombing and it's leading to the collapse of the coalition, This is an emergency.
No. You're right. So
it's not based on ideology. It's based on power and control.
Sure.
And I think the Libya is the immediate focus.
It is a coup threat. It is a coup demonstration. It's like Governor Tarkin blowing up Alderaan to scare the other space systems.
Let me add, the other thing is WikiLeaks, right? The ground had been prepared by WikiLeaks in the sense that WikiLeaks had put out a whole bunch of U.S. diplomatic cables saying the Norwegian government is incompetent. They're in way over their heads. They can't take terrorism seriously. They don't understand what's going on.
Well, no, that's Gates at the well now he's
but
left.
WikiLeaks. So we've got a prefabricated, ready-made-to-order, off-the-shelf reason to say,
right,
you Norwegian government, you're incompetent. You must fall because you allowed in the WikiLeaks. There's even bomb-making equipment was lost by the Norwegian police under this government. So they have a perfect way to say this government must fall because they have created the conditions.
Yeah, they've infiltrated the police. They've got the network set up a year ago. They launched the attacks. I have to totally agree with you. Paul Watson, any comments on this?
Well, I mean, just study the behavior of this guy. According to eyewitnesses, he's walking around with this serene look on his face as he's massacring scores of young people. The people who worked with him, who knew him personally, said they thought he was brainwashed. And then you've got the fact that he lives on this farm, which is right next to the elite military special forces complex in Norway. His father was in Norwegian special forces. And then you have the eyewitness reports, which the media has largely ignored, of gunshots being heard from two different parts of the island, and, quote, a man with dark hair in civilian clothes, being seen firing another weapon. So classic Sirhan-style patsy, with the brainwashing, with the serene look on his face, the calm demeanor. I mean, it all has a familiar echo to it.
Watson, good job. We need a report going over that, because people probably don't know that the L.A. detectives said at the time, Sirhan had his hand pinned to the table. None of the bullets hit Kennedy. Kennedy was shot from behind repeatedly. With the caliber, we even know now who pulled the trigger. Three CIA agents in the speech beforehand, photographed. This is all in the news. People forget. Sirhan is now confirmed. Yes, the woman in the dress, I'd already been under mind control. She gave me a drink of the halcyon chemicals, put him in the trance. I mean, this is ridiculous. And we now see the building of this guy up to this Superman, hoping that he will encourage real dislocated whites to now become violent instead of becoming political. I mean, this whole thing, clash of civilizations, then the government plays the part of the referee. What's your take on that, Watson?
Well, certainly. I mean, I've read comments. I've read numerous comments in support of his actions. There are Facebook fan pages that have already been set up in support of what he did. So undoubtedly, they're looking for copycats. And if they get them, then it's going to destroy the whole wave of European conservatism that's been peeling back this EU-SSR agenda, because the Conservatives have been very successful in recent years. I mean, the True Finn Party, and that, again, the
this is a psychic warhead. I want you to finish your point. This is a psychic warhead, a poison dart fired in to nationalists who understand the global banking cartel. The left is not opposing the New World Order. They're not opposing the Anglo-American elite. They're not opposing the Rothschilds and Rockefellers. They're not talking about eugenics. They love it. It's only what you'll call populist right wing that is getting Hispanics, blacks, Arabs, everybody together. That this show, what we do, common sense populism, opposing the banksters is the end of the New World Order, is cyanide to them. And so they are going to infect our movements with racism and Illuminati garbage and bombs and killing, so they can hammer the daylights out of us with the security services that are behind the terrorism. There is no doubt about that. Paul, finish your Finn Party article.
Well, I mean, it's in CNN right now. Europe's resurgent far-right focuses on immigration, multiculturalism, and they're lumping it all on the True Finns. They're lumping it on Geert Wilders, the Dutch politician who's been very successful, his Party for Freedom recently. So, yeah, the Conservatives in Europe were having a lot of success, and now they're all on the back foot because of the actions of this individual, and the establishment,
Paul,
in Europe is going to push it.
Just like Oklahoma City, we'll continue to watch PrisonPlanet.com, InfoWars.com for your updates and reports. We'll continue to interview Webster Griffin Tarpley here. Tarpley, thank you for joining us. We are out of time. We're going to rejoin retransmission now on the audio streams. We'll archive the last 3 hours and 45 minutes of video at PrisonPlanet.tv. It's uploaded every day. The higher quality podcast, all at PrisonPlanet.tv. Thank you all for your support. Continue to help spread the word. We told you this was coming. The globalists are desperate. They had to do this. It is manufactured. There's no doubt, but we did show some other perspectives today. Great job, crew.